ABM3.
In a world racked by mediocrity, two angry heroes from New Jersey have returned from 20 years of self-imposed exile. Their mission, to blaze a trail of freedom in defiance of all odds. Inexpensive surreal comedy is their weapon. Smiting the obsequious and vanquishing oppression is their calling. Their lives have reconverged at a time when the universe needs them most to make one final stand. They have been called so wildly pathetic as to be insane, branded ignorant of history and a host of other things, and found guilty of human rights violations. This is the story of a man named Brady, who was bringing up three boys of his own, where Indian fights are colorful sights and nobody takes a lickin', where Paleface and Redskin both turn chicken. Love, exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. I don't actually know where I'm going with this, but they do. There's an exit ramp up ahead. Abandon reality. It's time for the Anything But Monday Show.
So you think I'm driving your car, singing roca from my boss? Got my mind in the car. Don't forget to pick up the dough. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's gotta stop. Saturday, Sunday, I can't play. You know it's time to rock.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Anything But Monday Show. I am Frank Edward Nora, your host, along with
Mad Mike Masters.
Hello, always, Mike.
Hello, Frank.
And here we are. Welcome, everyone, all around the globe, listening to the Anything But Monday Show. We're coming to you. This is our third episode on Monday, March 5th, 2007. And we're here. We're getting a late start. Once again, it's the middle of the night again.
No, it's the early morning, actually.
It is 12:05 a.m. as we're recording this.
And welcome to
another... It's going to be a long night.
Yes.
It's going to be a great show, though. Yeah. We have so much great stuff coming up.
Tons of energy built up. We've been working on the show all week. Another fun-filled episode of Reality Takes a Vacation.
Yes.
And so, Frank, let's start off with what's been going on in your life since our last show. Or should I ask you, what mishaps have befallen you over the last week? Because I'm sure there's always a story. So why don't you start off with that one?
This has been a good week. It's been a good one.
You haven't broken anything, lost anything, destroyed anything. The company's not going to go under tomorrow, for all I know.
I did spill some Marmite on my shirt today.
What the hell is Marmite?
It's like a yeast extract goo that you can put on your toast in England. But other than that, it's been a good week.
Okay, great.
It's a week without disasters. It's pretty amazing. This is just mark this one down. This is going to be the last one.
Right. What, the last week without disasters?
Yeah.
So it's like going to be a theme, the disaster of the week. Is that what it's going to be?
Right. Yep. So sorry, Mike. I have to say, no disasters this week. A new sound effect. Look, a new sound effect. Yes. It's hard to add sound effects. It's a good one, though. The people are disappointed. I don't have any disasters this week.
That is a good one. Well, Frank, you haven't said anything about it yet, but by the way you've been looking at me, I can see you're a bit concerned, so I'll just come out with it.
Yes.
As you can clearly see, I have with me here in the studio my favorite medieval weapon, the halberd.
Yes.
Which coincidentally also happens to be the official medieval weapon of the Anything Monday show.
Oh, really?
As recently voted by our listeners or made up just by me right now. I forget which one. We will have the official list up soon. And you're probably wondering why I'm menacingly brandishing this pole axe in your general direction.
Now, what is a halberd?
Well, Frank, what is a halberd? Why don't you look it up on Wikipedia and give our listeners what a halberd exactly is.
A halberd, or Swiss Vulge, is a two-handed pole weapon that came to prominent use during the 14th and 15th centuries. Possibly the word halberd comes from the German words Halm, staff, and Barte, axe. The halberd consists of an axe blade topped with a spike mounted on a long shaft. It always has a hook or thorn on the backside of the axe blade for grappling mounted combatants. It is very similar in many ways to certain forms of Vulge. So that really clears it
up. Thank you, Frank. That was very well read. And so to end the mystery, the reason for the halberd is I've decided to spice up our show intro a little bit by removing one of your appendages on the air.
Wait a second.
And videoing it. We're going to video it.
Wait, this isn't episode 6 yet. We're supposed to kill me on episode 6.
No, this is not killing you. Okay. Basically, we're going to video this, yeah, right, as well, which I'm sure is going to get us a lot of play on the internet. Because YouTube is so big, and I know people are going to want to see that. And so what do you want to lose? And please don't bleed any of the equipment. What's it going to be?
Now, what do I have? Like an appendage?
Yeah, any appendage. It can't be your head. That's really not an appendage, because then you can't. The show is over.
Like,
at that
can
part.
You cut off a fingernail? Yeah. I mean, like,
no,
is
it's
that...
got to be like, it's got to be at least a digit.
I think a fingernail is technically an appendage.
But can you see this? This could be an ongoing feature. Like each week, I lop off another body part. You see how long you live. We can have the listener polls and stuff to vote on, like which body part should go next. You know, how long it takes the paramedics to arrive each time, or whether or not you'll get locked jaw. You know, it'll be fun, don't you think?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Mike, but I don't want it to lose any of my digits. No, all right. Okay, the audience is very upset with me.
Zip it. All right.
I guess you go with the pinky? I don't know.
If you won't do this, then you'll have to drink. I have here with me now this warm, frothy glass of fermented yak's milk with a big, black, curly pubic hair in it instead. How about that?
I would definitely do that instead. I think that sounds like a much better offer, actually.
Well, there's one more option.
Yeah.
Or you have to listen to Gerardo's greatest hits continually for the next month.
Gerardo's greatest hits?
For the next month. What's it going to be?
Continually?
So you either have the halberd taking off a digit.
Yeah.
You have the yak's milk with the big, black, curly pubic hair in it. Or you have to listen to Gerardo's greatest hits continually on with a headset on for 1 month straight.
All right, let's get started here. I can do this.
Yeah. Here you go.
I can do it. All right, I can do this. I can do this. How much longer do I have to do this for,
a
by
month.
The way?
It's the month.
Yeah. How long has it been so far?
And by the way, this is Gerardo's greatest hits.
How much longer? All right. All right, give me the yak's milk. Come on. All right, here we go.
Oh, anyway. Rhyming species with sushi. What does that tell you about your rapping capabilities when you're rhyming the word species with the word sushi? No me vengan con ternura.
All right, enough. Wow.
I had to spice the show up a little bit in the beginning there. So
I agree,
Did you want to talk a little bit about, like, what's going on with our members? Because, they're, you know, we're dumping everybody to freeloaders a lot earlier this time. We've been getting, like, 40 or 50 minutes of show away, you know, for free. And I'm tired of free.
Well, the thing is, the Anything But Monday show is, we just started it, literally 2 weeks ago. This is the third week.
Sure.
And there's been a lot of advancements on the site. And the first 2 weeks, we gave the free listeners about 50 minutes of quality content for free.
Right.
And we're going to give people a lot less this time.
So cut them off now. Here we go.
No, we can give them a little bit more. Give them a little bit more. Right, I figure we'll do somewhere in the 20s. We'll cut them off. Somewhere in the 20s.
All right, good.
For example, we have a lot of new services and a lot of new features on the site.
What would you have, Frank, on the site now? What have you upgraded on the site?
For example, I got an email from Rule from the Netherlands, one of our listeners from the Netherlands.
Is he paid? Is he a paying listener?
I believe so.
Okay.
He says, "Hey Frank, where can I sign up for ABM Show's Box O' Crap?" So he's wondering. We've actually talked about this on the show that we are going to be boxing up various amounts of junk, because I'm seeing this studio is now filling with lots of crap and from the last couple of shows.
And this stuff's already getting pretty ripe. Yes. Some of the stuff is food products that are partially eaten. And
I still have my fruits pretz open here. Are they still good, you think? Let me see.
I don't think you want to be eating that.
Oh, that's nasty. Oh, man.
Wait, that stuff's been sitting there for 3 weeks.
Give me some more yak milk here.
That stuff's been sitting there for 3 weeks.
Oh.
That's
really bad.
The people aren't going to appreciate that.
I actually just ate that. That was nasty.
Silence number two.
All right, go ahead.
So basically, so Rule was wondering about this whole concept that we're going to be mailing you, the listener, crap from the studio randomly.
Yeah.
And
box of crap.
Yeah, what we decided is we didn't want to just send everyone that signs up. We don't want people, maybe some people don't want to get crap in the mail. They want to just, you know, become a private citizen. They don't want to be involved. That's fine. So if you want to receive this stuff, there's a thing we call the Vanguard list. It's a mailing list for the Vanguards of Anti-Obsequiosity, what we call the paying members of this show. So what you can do...
Why don't you explain and define what anti-obsequious means?
Well, to be obsequious is to always give in and go along with, you know, go along with things that are going on in society.
Cow down to the establishment.
Yeah, it's like you're a bunch of sheep. You know, everyone always says society's a bunch of sheep, and they go along with everything.
I don't have any sheep sound effects.
Yeah. Right. So being anti-obsequious is to go against the norm, not to take everything at face value. Don't just go along with it, okay? If you go along with the crowd, if you're one of the sheep, you're going to wind up getting shorn, you know? You're going to wind up getting screwed. It's not the right thing.
There really is nothing like a shorn.
Look, we are – it's like being a rebel but with a cause, okay? Our cause is – we are on a mission with this show, right?
What is this mission we are trying to do?
We are trying to bypass the big media, and we are great creators of entertainment ourselves. We are not working for any big company. We don't have any distributors. There's no other company involved in us. We are our own company, and we're coming to you directly.
You mean right? We can't let Coca-Cola give us $1 billion?
No. Coca-Cola, well, no, they can sponsor the show if they want.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to say we are...
We'll bring back Coke and a Smile.
Yes.
It'll be Coke and a Smile as brought back by Anything But Monday.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think we could do that. Well, we should talk to them.
Right. I pissed on Coke.
No, wait a second.
I pissed on New Coke.
Yeah, that New Coke sucked. What was that? Crystal?
I pissed on Coke Zero, too. What are all these? How do you differentiate
like
one Coke
Zero
from the next?
I like Coke Zero.
What?
You have Coke, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And then you have Coke, which is your regular Coke. It's right. Like sugar and right. Corn syrup. Then you have, right. I don't know if they still have, the Coke C2, which was Coke with half the carbohydrates.
Okay.
Then you had Diet Coke, which has zero calories. Then you have Coke Zero, which has zero calories.
Mm-hmm.
But tastes more like Coke than the Diet Coke.
God.
But whatever happened to that Crystal, what was it Crystal Coke or Crystal Pepsi? It was Crystal Pepsi.
Zip it.
I like Crystal Pepsi.
Forget that. Go on with what you're talking about right now. You were talking about the Vanguards.
Yes. So we're on a mission. We want to bypass the big media and show that it is possible for you to come straight to individuals who are creating great entertainment without going through this big media, right?
And we deserve to get paid for the efforts.
Yes.
You know, this is our time we could be spending with our families.
Yes.
Our downtime. What are we doing? We're here on a weekend.
Anything But Monday Studios in the middle of the night recording this show for you.
For your entertainment.
Yes.
For what? $7.99
yes.
For a
so
month's
if you,
worth of entertainment.
Yes. So this is a premium show. You have to sign up for the premium subscription. $7.99 a month. Of course, we have just added two more options. For 6 months, it's... $39.99, which you get 1 month free, and then for 12 months or 1 year, it is $79.99, and you get 2 months for free. So,
and we have our first annual subscriber. We have a person requested an annual membership.
Yes, here is the email. Hey Frank, Escapist here again. So this is our listener, Escapist.
Right.
Is there a way to just pay for a year of the Anything But Monday show up front? Seems like you guys need a fresh ingest of cash. Can I just send you a money order or cashier's check for a year's worth of subs? And he actually requested that, so that's why we were going to add this anyway. But we added it now.
For those of you that are listening, this is how things go on behind the scenes. Frank sends me an email, Mike. We just had a request for an annual membership. What do you think? I'm like, what are you freaking nuts? I'm like, it's obvious. Create a freaking year membership. Make it up. Whatever.
Yes.
You know,
your option on
if
there.
If someone
so.
Wants to give us their money and they're that committed to the show. Fine, we'll do anything.
Yeah.
You want a 10 million year membership? Right, make it a lifetime. Make it an infinite membership.
Because we have a very advanced system for this show. I don't think anyone else is using this type of system for their premium podcast. We can do a lifetime membership.
Right.
How much should it be?
Whatever.
$25,000 for a lifetime membership. All right.
Just think about how valuable that is. I think it's great.
Maybe we should do something like find if there's a couple people out there. Maybe there's like some trust fund kids that are listening to this show.
But, yeah, I'll
that
find
they can just like write a check for like $100,000.
Tomorrow, put it up. Lifetime membership, $25,000. We're gonna put it up there.
$25K
for a lifetime membership.
Why not more? Like
$50K.
$50K. Okay.
$50,000. Go for broke. If they pay $25, they'll pay $50. So $50,000. Anybody out there listening wants a lifetime membership.
We're just talking about if you're so there's people out there that are so filthy rich.
You know what we'll do? We'll fly them in.
What?
Personally, and they can sit in our show. One show.
They can hang out. They'll be sitting right over here.
They can sit right over here.
Really?
We'll have to move
for $50,000.
They can sit with $50,000. Why not?
We're developing this whole new program.
$50,000. It'll be up there by Monday. Frank will see to it.
All right, I'll think about it. But anyway, so those are the different options for signing up for the show. And if you want to get on this Vanguard list, you can just sign into your premium page. Just click on the link on the menu for the premium show, and you'll see a link. Click here to sign up for the Vanguard list. And at that point, you'll give us your address, and you will be entered for randomly receiving crap. Like what are some things that we're going to be mailing out here?
The wound candy we can get rid of. There's like
lick your wounds candy. These are the things we did on episode number one.
Open bottles of the whiskey we have over here.
I don't know if it's legal to mail whiskey.
Sure it is.
But if you already I have some left. Let me see. Can I drink some?
If you already spit it or something like that, you can give it to them. Yeah.
Mm. Why not? Should I finish this off? What do you think?
Yeah, go ahead, Frank. Just drink some whiskey on the show.
Here we go.
Right, you can barely work the board as it is already. Now great. That's great. Now you just pounded down the whiskey. Nice.
I just drank half a little bottle of whiskey.
Nice.
You drink yours now.
I'm not drinking whiskey.
Have a sip.
Frank, one of us has to be sober when we're doing the show. One of us does.
It's just a little bottle. All right. So anyway, so that is how you can sign up for the Vanguard list.
And we have the t-shirts we're making that are the Band in Reality t-shirts, which are going to be coming. They're in design right now. They're going to be awesome. People are going to love those t-shirts. There's going to be like bumper stickers and all kinds of other great stuff that we're going to have.
We are going to pack up some boxes this week and send them out.
Look, here's the key thing. Okay? There are probably thousands of you listening to this show. Thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
In the future.
And currently. All you got to do is share the show with other people. That's the best way to get it out there. Share the show, right? How can people share the show with others, Frank? How can they get it out there? What's the best way to spread the word, get the Anything on Monday show out there?
How about if you have a blog?
A blog.
Put a little post on there and put it on your blog roll.
What exactly is a blog?
It's a web blog. It's like people can go on the internet and write a personal entry.
Fascinating.
Mike has not been into the internet thing too much. Of course, I've been... very involved in the world of the internet. Yes, yes.
Oh, I don't know why I did that.
And just one more thing on the site.
All right, that's enough of that.
The other thing we did on the site, I completely revamped the... I'm turning your volume down here.
Go ahead.
I completely revamped the Anything But Monday Show forum, which is free to check out. And I found a great theme called Extreme Dark Red. So now it looks like very metallic and red, right? You saw that?
It looks like Japanese.
Yes.
It's very Japanese.
Yeah, sort of Japanese looking. Yeah. And there's a free forum where you can post if you're one of our free listeners who are going to get cut off fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a premium forum, which you can look at if you have not signed up, but you cannot post. You cannot get in on the discussion. And we have discussions for each episode and all sorts of different things. And then there's the private members-only forum, where when you sign up, you can get in there, and all sorts of good things go on in there. I already gave away some great prizes in there.
Well, Frank is right. I mean, he's always trying to warn me about the internet and bring me up to speed. I don't know these things.
Yeah.
You know how I like answering my spam emails, right?
Yeah.
And you told me that was a problem, right? You warned me it's not a good idea. Do not answer your spam. Okay.
Yes.
But as usual,
and there's phishing. Don't forget about phishing. phishing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's when you get a letter from your bank that says, "Oh, there's an error, and you please log in here. Enter all your account details."
You're not supposed to do that.
No, because it's a fake. It's a server in like Latvia or something, and they steal all your information.
I thought they were trying to help me out. I guess I have
See,
no money.
If you don't know the internet, you can get into a lot of...
I guess I'm kind of Latvian.
You can
get
into a lot of trouble.
But look, as usual, I just said piss on your advice, like I always do, right? And did it anyway.
Yeah.
But this time, I paid the price.
What happened?
Let me tell you. I got this email a few weeks back that I responded to, which I found intriguing. The subject line just said this. Quote, this is an actual subject line in the email.
Yeah.
If penises could talk, they would definitely ask you to order penis enlarged patch.
What? This is completely real.
So I swear to God. So I'm like, really? So I had an extensive conversation with my penis because, as you know, I do, in fact, have a talking penis.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, it's a rare congenital abnormality, but it does have its benefits. So he was like, what the hell, Mike? Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the way I am, but I'm game for trying anything once.
Yeah.
So I get this patch in the mail, right? I put it on and I forget about it because it's so comfortable and you wouldn't even know it's there, like they advertise. So I forget about it. Only problem is 3 weeks later, I'm like, holy shit, I forgot the patch on.
You left it on?
You know, now I have this 3-foot cock. I don't know what to do about it. You know, so now I'm walking around like maybe I should join a freak show, get it, please believe it or not. Maybe the government has some use for it. You know, calls to the White House inquiring about any interest in a 3-foot cock have not been returned for some reason. So do you have any suggestions? Do you want to snap a photo, put it on for our premium listeners?
Now, being that your penis's brain has gotten larger proportionally, is your penis smarter now?
It's not talking to me, Frank.
It's
after that one?
Is it happy?
It's not too happy. What are you going to do with that thing? It's like, I'm deformed now.
I don't know. Do you have any anti-penis remedy? I don't know that.
Look, I haven't got an email that says that. All the emails that come to me are about enlarging. They're not about shrinking. Many people aren't walking around with the problem. Like, oh, you know, my cock is too big. I have to reduce it.
Yeah.
Who's walking around out like there? You know, maybe our program director, Dave Crump. See, he's a black man, so maybe the rumor is true. So maybe he needs the penis reducing patch.
Yes.
If they make such a thing. We should ask him. We should call him in and ask him about that when we can.
Should we call him now? Or do you want to call him in a little while? Or what?
I will call him a little while, maybe. But let's go on. Continue what you were. I learned my lesson. So we will have a picture on the there will be a picture on the premium site.
We should take some pictures of me while I'm talking, because we were trying to get some more pictures up. Hopefully this week we'll get some pictures up from the show. You'll see the studio. It's a lovely studio.
And the new 3 foot long.
Yes, the new 3 foot long Mike's penis.
Go ahead.
I found something online which is kind of interesting.
Yes.
Because as you know, we keep talking about how we were, we had this nationally distributed magazine, right? And we did it back in like 1988, 89. We released a magazine, went out to comic book stores all over North America and Canada as well.
Right.
And a lot of people read it. Thousands and thousands of people read it. And for those of you that doubt that, I found this article online. It's completely random. This website is so bizarre. It's Mahmood TV. Okay? Okay. I have no idea what this is. It shows a picture. Look at this. Look at it. It shows a picture of like a sheik with like a red.
Mahmood's Den?
Yeah. It shows a picture of, I have no idea what this is. Mahmood's Den. It has like a sheik on it with a red like scarf around his mouth.
Right.
It's so random.
Right.
And the topic is the duct tape airplane. And this is just from February 22nd of this year, just a few weeks ago.
Duct tape airplane. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a picture of an airplane with some duct tape on it. Right. Okay. So I
know where this is going toward. Right.
No, I have no idea. These people are responding to it. It says duct tape on an airplane. So they're showing how someone is holding this airplane together with duct tape. When you go down, people are responding.
Right.
Like, confirms the reason we used to refer to it as Gulf Dare when we lived in Abu Dhabi. I guess this is out in the Middle East. And that actually, one of the responses is actually in Arabic, right?
Yeah.
Now, Mahmood is responding, but you get to a response by a guy named Troy Z, right? I swear, this is true. This is Mahmood.tv. And he says, I do remember a humor magazine from the late 1980s called Anything But Monday that had a column of Ever Wonder, Ever Notice. One-liners. One was, with a little imagination, every problem in the world can be solved with duct tape. Scarily enough, in this case, the accompanying sketch cartoon showed a man with a roll of duct tape happily and confidently running towards an airplane crash in the middle of a field. Right? And then the rest of what he says, theater geeks also say. So basically, that was his comment. He was quoting from our magazine, Mahmood TV, this bizarre website. Some guy named Troy from somewhere in America.
Why isn't Troy listening to our show?
Commented, I don't know. I don't know who Troy is. Can we click? We can't even click on it. We don't know who Troy is. But people are quoting from our magazine. This is amazing. A couple of weeks ago on Mahmood TV. I was so thrilled with that.
Unfortunately, this is a perfect segue to bring this up, that hopefully they didn't find the other part of our magazine that was circulating in the Middle East that showed. What was that feature? We've been worried about this ever since it came out. You know, ever since 9/11, we were horrified about, obviously, 9/11. What a tragedy.
And coming up next on this show, we're going to be having a lot of great features, such as the piss poor movie reviews, Super video battle, and the audio from the past, and lots of other great stuff. So we'll be right back.
Cut the music.
What?
Cut the music.
We're not talking about this.
We are.
No.
We are not cutting the music out.
This is good. This is a good listen. This is a good song.
Come on.
All right. What do you want to say?
Look.
We cannot talk about this.
This is a true story.
It's a true story that I don't want to discuss.
What was the cartoon? What was the actual cartoon? What was the actual feature that was in the magazine? Please explain to people. You came up with a concept. What was the feature?
Look.
Just explain it.
We'll deal with this at some future date on the show.
No, we're going to do it now.
No, I think that it's probably better to avoid this topic at this point.
Now you got all these people hanging, waiting to hear what this whole thing is. You got to tell them.
But you know what we can do?
What it was.
We can cut off the free listeners.
Oh, so on the premium side, if you want to hear this unbelievably bizarre coincidence of all coincidences of what happened regarding a
listen,
magazine.
I don't want to talk about it. We're going to wind up in Guantanamo if we talk about this.
We are not. Okay, we're going to go over this when we get back on the premium side.
I had no idea Mike was going to go this way on this.
You brought the duct tape up with the. What did you expect was going to happen? We're going to say nothing else because I want to leave people in suspense. All right. So that's it. All right, listen, man.
I mean, it is out there. I don't know. Frankenstein. All right. We, of course, we have the our button that we're going to use to get you people off the feed. Whoa, hold on a second. It is now time. Yeah, look, it's only going to be about 25 minutes that these people are going to get, the free people. Let's get this thing ready. It's not working again. Hold on. Oh, okay. So you saw a picture of this button the last time on the show. Here we go. Flipping the switch number one. Flipping switch number two. And turning the key. It is armed. Mad Mike, would you like to do the honors? Press the button. Goodbye, free listeners. We'll, please sign up.
And we'll see.
And you can hear the rest of this.
And we'll see you on the other side.
Bye. All right, let's take a quick break. And we'll be back. Yes. We're back.
What do we have?
All right. So we promised on either side of the premium. Since they probably
I had no idea Mike was going to bring this up. By the way,
so Frank,
do you have the actual magazine that to refer to? Or?
No, I don't have the magazine to refer to. It was a number. What was it? Number three. It was number three. I believe it was number three.
No, it was number two.
It was number two. So set it up. Come on, let's get through this because we have lots to do.
But,
on this show.
But if I had the magazine, it'd be easier to refer to it.
Just explain to what the feature was. It was a feature. Was what?
But let's do it another time when we can like review. We don't have those copies here. We don't have those issues.
I don't know. But just explain it so we can go on.
Okay, it was a feature in the original Anything But Monday magazine. What we talked about, we distributed. It may have been the same issue that this Mahmoud Troy was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a humor magazine, and you know it was distributed nationwide. There's several thousand copies out there still. And I had a feature called Frank Norris' Best Way to Destroy Certain Objects.
Right.
And
what was one of the things you had as an idea of objects you wanted to destroy?
Well, like, for example, like it was really random stuff. It was like, how do you destroy your teeth? Liquid nitrogen. Like, that. Just the horrible thought of, like, destroying right. your teeth in liquid nitrogen.
The best ways to destroy certain objects.
The best ways to destroy certain objects. Like, a grandfather clock would be lightning. And then Dave Copperman, the illustrator, would come up with, like, pictures of these things. So basically, you would have the best way to destroy...
a neon sign.
A neon sign was with a pair of pliers. Like, I just thought you would just... crack it with a pair of pliers.
Random
it was,
stuff.
It was very random, and
he would draw one panel illustration showing that way to destroy.
I wish I had
things.
One to refer to, but so I was just it was just like all these random things. What were some of the other? I forget what some of the other things were. Just destroying random different things,
right?
And one of the things. Do I really have to talk about this?
Yes, you have to.
Listen, first of all, this is.
We had nothing to do with it.
Look. Right. Mike, I'm very...
Since you can't say it, one of the things was the best ways to destroy the World Trade Center. And of course, and Frank writes to the author, best ways to destroy World Trade Center, 747. Right? So what did he come back with? A one-panel strip of a 747 flying between the two buildings and taking them out.
Now, let me point something out here. Yeah, so basically...
It's a huge explosion, and the buildings are caving in, and I'm like... Now, and like we're like, oh, because we the big debate was could a plane fit through there? How would you ever get an airplane there? The whole thing, and of course,
yes.
That was forgotten until it got in the hands of the terrorists or George Bush, depending on how you look at it.
Now, look, no one got their hands on that. So basically, it was a feature, Frank Norris' Best Way to Destroy Certain Objects, which I thought was a very creative idea.
Mm-hmm.
In sort of it was a college humor context, just a funny thing, how to destroy certain objects, because a lot of humor, especially college humor. Or like the Monty Python type things involves like violence or destruction or killing, right? So that's sort of like a mainstay in humor. So I just had,
yeah, okay.
And one of these things, it was how do you destroy the World Trade Center? It was with 747s, and and we put it in there, and it was no big deal. It was just a funny thing. And after 9/11 happened, probably a few months later, I had totally forgotten about that. I was looking at some of those old Anything But Monday magazines, and I opened it up to that page, Frank Norris' Best Way to Destroy Certain Objects, and I saw. How best way to destroy the World Trade Center, 747s. And that picture that this guy Dave drew was almost exactly. It was sort of a plane. It had sort of crashed into both buildings and was sort of like horrific. So it was so horrific to think that we actually had that in our magazine. But this is what I want to point out, okay? For those people in the government who claimed, We had no way of knowing. It was obvious to a dumb college kid doing a humor magazine,
exactly.
Okay, that these people, and it was a few years later, what was it, 93, when when they originally bombed the World Trade Center, right, in a parking garage.
Right.
These people, you know, they wanted to destroy that building.
Right.
So it didn't take a rocket scientist like me, Frank Noah, rocket scientist, didn't take any, it didn't.
It took a dumb kid.
Yeah.
Who and a crazy artist to come up with
a dumb, essentially hyper intelligent kid, but to come up with that idea. But it was so obvious. Okay, these people were intent on doing it. It was so obvious, even on a college comedy magazine, it was in there. So that's why I think that when they say they had no idea, they weren't anticipated. That's
anything
bullshit.
A Monday magazine had the portent of things to come. You ignored it, all of you.
So what I'm thinking that if the magazine got bigger and the back issues were like more valuable, perhaps someone in the government would have gotten it and prevented it from happening. That didn't happen.
So for our premium listeners, there'll be a photograph of that panel that will be on the premium forum.
Hold on. Can you just say that again? say what you just said. Say that again. Just say it again.
For our premium listeners.
Yeah.
All right, there will be a photograph of that panel.
Gotta stop.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
What are you
doing to me tonight? Wait.
Just say that last part again.
For our premium listeners.
What were you saying? What's going to be on the site? No, tell me.
For our premium listeners.
Yeah.
Right. There will be.
Yeah.
A photograph of that panel.
Like a scan?
Yeah. What's going to be on there then?
Sorry, folks.
Why is he not going to?
Because like you said in the beginning,
over.
No. Because what? Like, what if now? What if some nut job out there, like someone that says, "Oh, you know what? I was involved in it, and I read that comic. That's how I got the idea for it." How horrific would that be? Wouldn't I be arrested at that point? And you would be arrested too.
I'm not going to be.
We could be arrested for this. You know where? You know this country's headed for a police state.
Yeah, but we're immune to the police state. You know why?
Why?
We're always. How is anybody going to find us? We're always on the run with the show. It's always recorded in a different location. They're never going to find us. They can't track us.
That's true.
Right? They have no idea who we are. They have no idea we are house in Nutley.
Now get out of here. You know, this is not the way I wanted the show to go.
All right, let's get back on track. But there will be a picture. We are going to put that picture because now everybody's going to want to see this big scandalous picture about.
No, yes, I'm not putting that online.
Don't worry. For those of you listening...
Mike does not have the technology. He does not
matter.
Have the technology. Mike does not have the technology. No,
Mike doesn't need the technology. Mike needs his two fists. I'll work on Frank.
No, wait a second.
To make sure. I will use my unique combination of psychology, extreme violence to get him to do it. So when it'll be up there.
All right, let's move from that to more controversy,
yes.
If you don't mind.
Give me some more controversy, Frank.
All right, let me open this website here.
What are we talking about now?
That girl group.
Oh.
Give the background for people that haven't heard the last show. Give the background on this.
Here we go again with the Anything But Monday girl group. Just when you think they're gone, they rear their ugly heads again. You know, and Frank.
What's
about what the 30 Days to Your Famous?
Yeah, we're like
your message in the text box.
Oh, sorry about that.
What the hell was that? Do you realize this show has been a total debacle to this point already? This is our best show ever. All right.
I can't believe you brought that up.
30 Days to Your Famous.
Yeah.
Is a show.
Yeah.
Which is going to, was actually been put on hold.
We don't know. It's a TV reality show, and part of it involves a girl group similar to the Spice Girls called Anything But Monday. Okay. We don't know if the guy copied it from us. We don't know anything. But I've been scouring the internet for information on this group. Okay. And I finally found another website, 30daystillimfamous.com. And they have a trailer up.
Oh. It's unwatchable.
There's a trailer. So 30daystillimfamous.com, and the till is just T-I-L. And let me show you, Mike. Here it is. It's 30 Days Till I'm Famous, three bands, one brain. And there's all the girls. Of course, Nair is the star. We didn't realize this. There's five girls in Anything But Monday, the girl group. Nair is the star. So they obviously favor her over the other girls.
Yeah.
Here's the trailer. I guess we'll play a little bit of it.
It's really just horrible.
But the part of it, I'll start playing it. Here we go. There's a part of it that really pisses me off.
There's a guy pissed.
My name is Frank Cassara.
Another Frank.
President of Loyalty Records.
You're a dick.
Multimedia conglomerate.
Okay. There's all these cheesy graphics on there.
Some would
basically, I'm a music mogul who lifts weights.
No wonder Fox canceled this show. He's trying to be like Donald Trump.
He's a dick.
Some may look at me as a bad guy.
Those graphics are awful.
They're awful. Many of the problems in this world. The way I look at it.
So this is the trailer.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this show is going to happen or not happen, but I just want to describe something that happens in this trailer as it goes on. Because this show could still come out, and it's going to be like a major problem, right? If it's on like Fox Television and they just group Anything But Monday on there, Anything But Monday is ours. Okay.
We trademarked it.
It's ours. I don't know what's going to happen with this.
My name is Frank Cassara.
Good for you.
This is 30 Days.
I want to kill this fucking guy. I want to kill.
No, he's a character.
Guy.
He's a character, though. Now watch this. Watch this. Okay. This is the opening credit sequence. Very creative.
It zooms in and what do we see?
It zooms into a girl's rear end on a billboard. Yeah. And who is it? It's Nayer.
Yeah, it's Nayer. And what does this billboard say?
I don't know. Hold on. We'll see. There's Canela. These are the members of the quote unquote Anything But Monday. The fake Anything But Monday. Yeah. Lisa. And then here's NG. Her name is Aang.
Yes.
Is this Anything But Monday music here?
Yeah.
All right, anyway, here we go. This is when it happens. It shows that all the girls, and it says Anything But Monday, and there it is on a billboard, Anything But Monday. Really pisses me off. So, and then it goes to the other bands, which are useless, but... Can you believe that? I'm seeing the words Anything But Monday on a billboard on this trailer. We created Anything But Monday.
I wouldn't worry about them too much, Frank, because I heard that their first album, Pussy Full of Jizz, ain't doing too well.
Yeah. I want to point out, though, on this trailer, if you look at it...
Would you buy an album by a band called Pussy Full of Jizz? Would you?
I might, if it was good music. Is it classical music, or... But I want to point out, if you watch this trailer, the fake Anything But Monday billboard is right above a Tower Records location, probably in Los Angeles. Tower Records is out of business, okay? It's freaking people. So I don't know. We're following this... We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I exchanged one email with this guy about a year ago when he registered anythingbutmonday.com, and he said great minds think alike, so they came up with it independently. So who knows? Hopefully we can – do you think we can live in harmony with the other Anything But Monday?
Do we live in harmony with anybody?
Yes. We're very, very nice people.
Yeah.
We're very nice people.
Yeah. So that's what we're wanted in like 30 states already. That's great. So what else you got for the show, Frank?
Just a little quick note. Weird New Jersey Magazine, we placed an ad in there, and in the May issue, you will see an ad for the Anything But Monday show. So if you're listening then, why don't you go pick it up and check out the ad? Weird New Jersey Magazine.
It should be the other way around. They went on to find the show because they looked at the ad. What would they care? Picking a magazine, look at our ad. Who cares?
No, it's a collectible for the...
Have you prepared anything for the show?
Yes.
What have you done? What of entertainment value have you provided for this show so far?
Well, we have... I have a lot of stuff.
What have you prepared?
We have a lot of features coming up.
I bet we do.
I just wanted to... this is just a few other things here. I wanted to say thank you to our international listeners. We mentioned it briefly before.
Yeah.
Did we? Yeah.
That was an interview we did.
We did an interview. Here is a map of the world, and look at this, all the hits that came into our site just since it started about 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Here's a hit from Lakemba, Australia, right? We have Petaling Jaya, like in Indonesia, in Malaysia. We have Manila in the Philippines. Look at that. Someone from Manila.
Right.
We have Kami Renjaku, Japan. This is all the people tuning in to the Anything But Monday show around the world. Look, Argentina. Bancalari, Argentina, and of course, lots across the United States. Of course, we have Airdrie, Canada, all over the place. Denver, Vancouver,
La Jolla,
and a lot of people. Edinburgh, Scotland, Wembley. Look, Wembley in England, the Hague, and in the Netherlands, all sorts of stuff. So I just want to say thanks to everyone who's been listening all around the world, and Madrid, of course. We have one listener in Madrid. Cool. Isn't that exciting? The whole world is listening. The world is listening, and you are too. Whoever you are, thank you. Like, I better not get in trouble over that stupid thing. I'm serious.
You're not going to get in trouble. What did we do? We didn't incite that act to happen.
No, but our country is moving towards a police state, and then they could just be like, there's no law anymore.
Then why would we be doing this show?
No, there's still freedom now, but what if they change it? You could have... I don't know. So, anyway, we are going to...
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I have the ABM insult of the week.
What is the ABM insult of the week?
Now, of course, last week. What was yours last week? Do you remember?
The ABM.
This is a great feature on the show. The Anything But Monday insult of the week. So you can use this on your friends, on your enemies.
Make a T-shirt out of it. Yes. Bumper stickers, whatever you want to do. The ABM insult of the week last week.
Yes.
Just to repeat it for those of you who missed it was.
Yeah.
Go eat a pail of vaginal yeast.
Yeah, that was nasty. Yeah,
that was nasty. So Frank has a.
I'm trying to outdo you this week.
All right, here we go.
This one's kind of rough. So just.
I haven't heard
Hold
it.
On to your hats.
Where is it?
Here we go. Perchance thou art a nerd. How's that? That is a rough one. Perchance thou art a nerd. The Anything But Monday insult of the week. Perchance thou art a nerd.
Where did you get that one from?
I just made it up.
Frank, that's brilliant.
So say that to your friends. Perchance thou art a nerd.
Perhaps you can share that on Oprah. You know, I have to talk about Oprah for a second.
Yeah.
This woman has been plaguing us since college. I don't understand. It's been over 20 years, and I still have to see and hear this hard-talking gorilla everywhere I go. You know, but how much ego do you have to have?
Now, wait a second.
Think about it. How much ego do you have to have?
Gorilla, that's a bit racial.
She's a hard gorilla. That's what she looks like to me. All right?
I wouldn't say that myself.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't say that yourself. I have to say all the things you're thinking all the time, so I get in trouble.
I don't approve of that sort of thing, but
this has nothing to do with the fact she's black. It doesn't make anything. She's just somebody who just drives me freaking.
Go tell that to the politically correct crowd, all right?
Fuck the politically correct crowd. Okay. All right. So look, anyway, how much of an ego do you have to name a magazine, first of all? You name a magazine after yourself.
I know. What if we called our magazine the Frank Edward Nora and Mad Mike Masters magazine? That would be the same thing.
No, not.
Wait, that's a good idea.
It's bad enough that she names the magazine after herself.
Yeah.
Must you be on every fucking page of the magazine? Every cover of the magazine? We know it's you. No one has a name but besides
you. Yeah, but see, no, you're not understanding one thing. She's very popular.
Oh, yes, I know.
She's very popular.
Yeah, great. and we're gonna find out she's a freaking like, what do you call it? A clone of some kind of hard being someday. You know, one day when she's on TV, she's going to split out of her skin just like you. And he's like, ah!
She's like an alien.
Ah! I've perpetrated this all on you. I've got you all. Under my, you know, I'm telling you. Why? Is it not enough of your names in the magazine? Put somebody else on the cover of your magazine.
Yeah.
Everywhere I look, she's on the cover of a magazine. How much money do you think she spends, you know, in like makeup and
photoshopping herself?
Photoshopping her. How much do you think? Can you imagine how much that is?
$100,000.
Probably at least that.
Yes.
At least that alone. Anyway, you know, one thing I did miss last week and people brought up, there was a great story that I totally missed that we didn't talk about in the news. And someone brought it up. There was a story that we failed to report last week about that giant squid that was captured in New Zealand. Did you see that gigantic squid?
Yes.
It
was a hot topic on the internet last week. The giant squid. It's very hard to catch one of these things.
Supposedly.
They're very fast.
Whenever you catch something giant like that, you have to say proportionally what you can make out of it.
Yeah.
You know, like if you made Kali Mari out of this giant squid, it would be the size of truck tires. Like, who the fuck would think of doing that anyway? Yeah, I'm sure in New Zealand, they caught this thing off the coast of New Zealand, wherever they were. They go, hey, Mike, could you imagine a calamari coming out of this thing, Mike?
Calamari?
I mean, can you, you know? But I want to also update this. They also failed to mention, they also captured Mothra and the Smog Monster as well.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
They also got
the Smog Monster was good. We used to love those Godzillas.
they got Mothra and the Smog Monster as well.
Oh, but talking about calamari, you know Kelly Pickler on American Idol?
Oh, God.
I have to mention this because I'm a fan of American Idol. I watch it, and I know you are, too.
I got dragged into it. I'm not a fan.
I like American Idol. Right. And on the show, they always drag back these worthless contestants from last year. And I don't care about the people from last year. Just I'm done with them.
Did you see her on there?
Yes. Kelly Pickler, last year, was like a cute young girl. She looked very normal. She was like, hey, I like calamari. I never had that before. She kind of talked like this. And yeah. She was a cute country girl, right?
Don't you mind my pert little nipples?
Don't you love
them?
She was a really cute girl, normal-looking girl. She had a great personality. She did fairly well on the show.
You know what?
They're like, Ryan Seacrest is like, and now on American Idol, welcome back, Kelly Pickler. Right. And this person comes out who looks like she's about 55 years old.
So she looks like a junior Dolly Parton. She looks like a junior Dolly Parton.
She has fake breasts.
She's got a wig, fake breasts. Ryan Seacrest goes, so Kelly, what'd you do with all your money? What'd you spend it on? What'd you spend it on? Wink, wink. New shoes. Yeah, new shoes and a size double D.
But it looked like her face was like all like caved in. It looked awful. She looked like she was about 50 years old.
Oh, she's horrible.
Giant fake breasts. I couldn't believe what happened to her. How did she do that to herself?
She looked like she looked like a Barbara Bush.
Yeah, exactly.
She looked like a junior Barbara Bush.
I've never seen a celebrity like that in the course of less than 1 year. Age like 20 years,
dude. You know what? It must be. Satan must be behind that show. Like you sign off on something. Like you sell your soul to the devil.
Exactly.
And then they morph you and melt you.
Something like the picture of Dorian Gray. Like someone else is like young because she's aging.
Exactly. Because she looked Hard.
Or it could be. You know what? It could be. She could have spent her money on time travel.
Really?
And she time traveled so much that she's that much older now.
That's true.
She could have like gone back to like the 1800s for like 40 years.
If she did that, she got a pass.
You can't get for time travel, it's all right. But she just looked horrendous, and it was very shocking. It was just like out of the blue, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really bad, man. You're right. You know, speaking on the subject of like the South, here's a classic moment when you have kids the other day.
Yeah.
I'm sitting around, and my son goes, out of nowhere, Daddy, who eats pig snouts? I'm sitting there, minding my own business. I hear, Daddy, he runs in, Daddy, who eats pig snouts? And I'm going, son, they're called rednecks, and I have to explain what a redneck. What is a? I said it jokingly. He's like, "What's a redneck?" I said, let me rephrase that, because I actually said it. I'm like, my first impression was like a redneck eats pig snouts, you know. So yeah, that was a classic moment out of nowhere. But you know, speaking of eating too, I had two shocking moments last week eating food.
Yeah,
because you know how I am. I always read the ingredients on everything. I'm obsessed with reading ingredients because I'm so health conscious about everything.
Yeah.
You could care less. You poison yourself with all kinds of chemicals. But anyway.
How about that?
What is this?
This is something else they eat down south. Pork brains.
Really?
In milk gravy. Look how much cholesterol is in one serving of pork brains.
It's 3,500 milligrams. It's 1,170% of the U.S. RDA. What the hell is that? Armor pork brains.
It's real.
Scrambled eggs and brains is really difficult. 550 milligrams of sodium, 10 carbs, 5 grams of fat, 16 grams of protein.
Who would have known that the brains of pigs would be so high in cholesterol?
Who would have known?
That's bizarre. I just had to bring that up. Well, anyway, what were you saying?
Speaking of eating, this is what happened. This is a true story.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm sitting down for a little late night snack the other night.
Yeah.
And you know I'm all into eating healthy and everything, so I find some yogurt in the fridge. And I'm sitting there and I'm eating it when I decide by chance to read the ingredients.
Yeah.
And much to my horror, I read the following. Contains active cultures.
Yeah.
And I immediately start screaming, and crying, and I'm vomiting all over the place, all over the kitchen, since I've just discovered that I've been eating entire populations of human beings the size of amoebas that have somehow been implanted in my yogurt.
They're like sea monkeys.
Now, I ask you, Frank.
They're little people.
What kind of sick, twisted government and or Illuminati plot is this? That they're doing this to the yogurt. What is this?
It is horrific when you really think about it. But it's like the you know, like the sea monkeys.
Yeah.
It like when you bought the toy, it had illustrations of these like humanoid pink creatures, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're a kid and you buy sea monkeys, I think it's still around. People still buy this. It still shows those pink people with like the big things on their head.
Yeah.
And then you buy it and you grow it and it's these little shrimp that are like little microorganisms. They look nothing like that. What actually happened is those pink people got shrunk down even further. It was a mistake by the government. They got shrunk down so small you couldn't even see them.
Right.
Then they had no place to put them, so that's when they came up with yogurt. Yogurt was invented back in the 40s. Like the late 40s, you know.
Good. This is great, Frank.
No, because you know the time of the UFO Roswell crash.
Right.
That's how they got the technology.
So they brought the aliens bring the yogurt, or was it created?
No, original sea monkeys were shrunken further
into the yogurt.
Well, they had to invent yogurt because they had no place to put them. They were growing. Think about it. If they didn't know, seriously, you know what they say about the gray goo micro nanotechnology problem? If they didn't come up with the yogurt,
what the fuck are you talking about?
They would have the population would have grown. You know how something like a geometric progression, right?
Okay. I'm following you.
You know that old chestnut when you go when you have a chessboard, right?
Right.
And the guy's like some guy for the kingdom. There's this king, and the guy did something good, like he saved the princess from like a dragon or something. The king's like, you know, how can I reward you? I can give you one thing. And the guy's like, I would like some grain on this chessboard. You know this one? He's like, I will put one grain of No, listen. This is going somewhere. I will put one grain on the first.
Please. Only a frickin'
listen.
Here.
Listen. You put one grain of wheat on the first square of the chessboard, right? Like where the rook would go. Then it's like on the next one, I want two. So on each square, you double it, right? Mm-hmm. The king's like, no problem. That's easy. You want some grain? You're an idiot. But they didn't realize as you keep doubling it, right? It's four, and then eight, and then 16, and then it's like by the time you get to the eighth square, it's like a million, right? So that's the same thing as the sea monkeys. If you let them grow at the same rate, right, it would consume the entire earth. All organic matter would be destroyed. So they inhibited the growth in yogurt.
Therefore, hence, ergo,
yeah,
they end up in yogurt.
Yeah.
So you're saying I was eating sea monkeys. Shrunk down to the size of a
Unibus. Well, yes, the original ones. Before they, and they basically, to market the toy, they had to use brine shrimp. Because, you know, the eggs of brine shrimp can just sort of remain in stasis for unlimited amount of time. When you wet them, they start to grow, which is pretty amazing if you think. They're sort of in suspended animation.
So no more yogurt for me.
No.
I'm not going to buy into that plot.
Talking about yogurt, you know your faggy yogurt you
it's
had
not
last?
It's not faggy.
It's spelled F-A-G-E.
It's faggy. It's faye.
This is true, everyone. This is a yogurt called faggy.
I don't use gay. I don't do not eat gay yogurt.
No, it's called faggy, F-A-G-E. Okay. But I never saw this before in my life, okay? I never saw whatever faye yogurt. I never saw it before in my life. Right. You were there, and hopefully I put the pictures up, you munching on your faye yogurt.
Yeah.
The next Monday when I went to work, I walked into work, and right there on the counter in the kitchen at work, faye yogurt.
Right.
It's just sitting there. What are the chances?
I would say they're at least 5-1.
And there was millions of those little sea monkeys in there.
Look,
yogurt's actually very healthy. We don't want to inhibit people.
The entire yogurt industry's just gone belly up. Watch tomorrow.
They are actually real living creatures that you're eating.
Yeah, I know that. But I found that out the hard way, didn't I?
Yeah.
But this is even better. Okay? Because not a day later.
Yeah.
In a related incident. All right?
Yeah.
So I'm just recovering from the whole yogurt thing. I'm all distraught
and upsetting.
I've just got millions of people. I've digested millions of people. I'm all sick. I'm enjoying some delicious organic pitted prunes.
Yeah.
So I love prunes. They're great.
They're good.
They make you really regular. They're awesome. So I'm just
lots
popping
of fiber.
I'm just popping them down. I have the container in front of me. And, you know, I can't resist reading the ingredients since I haven't learned my lesson yet for some reason.
Yeah.
And here's what I read. Quote. This is an actual quote from the container. I wrote it down. It is possible that this package will contain pits. Okay. I can see this happening.
Yeah.
Right? Shells. All right. I'm not so sure if I'm buying... You know how a conch made it way into the prunes somehow. But I'm willing to overlook
prune,
it because I like
prune
it so much.
Shell?
Like, there might be shells in the box. Like it might be like a conch shell or a clam shell. Like how did this get in there? Right?
Prunes don't. Do they? They come with shells?
And it's like seeds.
Yeah.
Which is now really starting to make me wonder what the fuck's going on with this factory.
Yeah.
And last but not least, I come to the final possible additional random contents that states. Or other earthen objects.
Other earthen objects.
I'm like, what the fuck? I could be eating mole men feces for all I know, for crying out loud. Isn't mole men feces an earthen object?
It is. It is an earthen object.
You know, I was like, oh, God.
They're earthen objects.
I'm vomiting.
That's ridiculous.
Earthen objects. I'm like, well, you gotta be kidding. I circled it. Other earthen objects. It leaves it wide open.
Oh, man.
I mean, it could be like remnants of like corpses or like, who knows what could be in there? Earthworms? What could it be in there? You know, pottery. I'm eating shards of
archaeology stuff.
Archaeology stuff.
Yeah, like skeletons from the past.
Exactly.
Know.
Exactly.
So that is very disturbing.
So no more prunes. So I can't eat yogurt. I can't eat prunes. It turns out that everything healthy for me is like this dangerous shit that's got all kinds of side products and all kinds of crap in it. So I can't even do that anymore. So that was hard. I was just.
It is hard to eat food sometimes. It is.
Yeah. Especially with your mouth closed.
Yeah. All right. After the break, lots of great features coming up, including audio from the past, Super Video Battle, piss poor movie trailers, The Amazing True Life Adventures of Mike and Frank, the analysis of many things.
And we will talk about
many
back,
other things.
We come back from the break, the classic story of how Frank and I in college were almost abducted by the Hare Krishnas.
Yes.
So we'll give you that story when we come back from the break.
Yes. Here we go.
Story, y'all. Listen up.
Me and my this is a true story, y'all. All right, we're back.
Welcome
we're back.
To my underground lair.
Dr. Evil.
Enjoy the share.
Okay, we're back.
Yes, and it is time for a great feature called Piss Poor Movie Trailers.
Okay, and we're doing this a little different this time. So
yes,
Frank?
this feature has been revamped based on suggestions by individuals. Canal. Who is this now? Canal?
Canal. One of our
one of our faithful listeners, Canal.
He signs in as Canal.
Canal has...
We know all the names of all the listeners, but we can't disclose their identities unless basically, you know, they would like us to do that.
Canal, yes. In fact, when you sign up for the Vanguard list, you can actually tell us what you'd like to refer to you as on the show. So if you want to be called Canal, or if you want to be called like...
Fucko.
Like Fucko from Wisconsin, you know? You can be called that. You can be called whatever you want. But anyway... last week we did the piss poor movie trailers. We just played the trailers and described what we saw. But now there's a little bit of a twist.
Wait,
describe the twist, Mike.
I don't even know what the twist is.
No.
We talked about it, but okay. you concocted this whole thing, so I don't know what you came up with.
So basically, we have these. I found we're going to do two piss-poor movie trailers, and I'm going to give you the title and three possible explanations of what it actually is.
Oh, really?
And then you have to guess. And you can play along at home, actually. If you want to play along at home, mm-hmm. you can try to guess which one is the real story. Then we'll play the trailer and we'll describe it.
So, okay. So I have...
do you understand this concept?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
I hardly understand it.
You came up with it. So I'm supposed to guess. You're going to read me three different trailers.
I'm going to give you the name of the trailer.
Right.
And then I'm going to read you three possible explanations of what this movie's about.
And I have to pick which one I think they're going to
Yes.
Okay, I got
and
it.
And people can play along at home and try to figure it out.
Okay, go. Let's go. Stop playing with yourself. Just play the trailer.
Drinking some coffee here. Okay, so basically, you don't play the trailer first. Because then you would know what it was about.
Ah.
Okay. Okay, the first movie trailer is, piss poor movie trailer is Babette Goes to War.
Babette Goes to War.
Yes, Babette Goes to War. Now, okay. Here are your three choices.
What this could be. Okay.
Okay, and play along at home. See if you can figure this out.
Now, if I get it right, what do I get? A pistachio.
You get one pistachio. That's your prize. Put the pistachio.
Okay.
Well, give me two pistachios.
Okay, pistachios.
Each time you win,
I'm like a monkey.
We have these raw pistachios. Okay. Are these horrific foods or are these pretty good?
No, I'm not going to even read the ingredients.
Don't read the ingredients on the pistachios.
Come on, wait a minute.
See, I have two pistachios here. That will be Mike's great prize.
Read the last ingredient.
Earthen object. No!
I swear to God, I didn't even look
other
at this.
Earthen objects.
Again, I'm being played by earthen.
Earthen objects. What a disappointment.
Again,
who makes this crap?
I don't even know, man. Oh, Frank, but it's Parva. Oh, it's kosher.
All right.
Go ahead.
Babette Goes to War. Option number one.
All right.
Babette, the Wonder Goose, plays a pivotal role in the Battle of Shiloh during the American Civil War.
Wonder who?
Babette, the Wonder Goose.
Oh, Wonder Goose.
Plays a pivotal role in the Battle of Shiloh during the American Civil War.
Okay.
Option two. A beautiful woman parachutes into Germany during World War II to spy on some silly, wacky Nazis. Okay? Option number three. A futuristic barbarian warlord girl declares war on the neighboring planet of Raspu 4 over a soft drink trade dispute. So those are your three choices. The Wonder Goose, the beautiful woman in Germany, and the futuristic barbarian warlord girl.
It can't be the
warlord. Which one do you think it is?
It can't be a warlord girl. That sounds like you too much.
What?
So it's got to be the goose, or it's got to be...
Babette the Wonder Goose.
Babette the Wonder Goose, or it's got to be the beautiful woman power. I'll say it's number two, the beautiful woman parachutes into Germany for the wacky Nazis.
Here's your pistachio.
I got,
you win.
I got it right?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Let's watch Babette Goes to War. Here is the trailer. Hopefully we can hear this. We'll describe what's coming on
the
here.
The new Brigitte Bardot. Can you tell the difference? You will when you see her hilarious new film, Babette Goes to War. Because the Brigitte Bardot, who was merely a goddess, the cuddliest doll in the world, the dream girl of 75 million red-blooded American males, now is one of the funniest comedians on the scene. Just as beautiful, just as alluring. But now, 75
here she is in an airplane.
Girls will get to know her better, too.
That's hysterical.
The Nazi flag.
rubbing her ass as she parachutes from the ground. She parachutes to the ground, hits her ass, and rubbing it.
He's a very nice horse.
Here's your wacky Nazis.
Hold him tight. I don't trust him. Go now, Siegfried, help me out.
This is a Nazi trying to get on a horse. And hijinks ensue. Hilarity ensues.
Imagine the horse.
Brigitte Bardot as the war's most seductive undercover agent.
Yeah, she's wearing everything.
A stunning secret weapon in the French arsenal. Set to explode in the enemy's boudoir.
Explode the boudoir?
Come on, I better be going.
That's right. What's in sight?
There's meat in a suitcase. This makes no sense.
Yeah. A little bird told me what was in there.
She's hanging out with a wacky Nazi.
The same guy that...
I see you are very pretty, very sweet. You have been nice.
Look, there's Hitler in the corner there. A picture of Hitler.
Meanwhile, she's under a sheet telegraphing London.
It's the
Hotel Continental.
That's ridiculous. They couldn't be sending it from headquarters.
She's doing Morse code.
Oh, God. He's under the sheets. Naked.
I'm completely nude.
Bridget Bardot wins medal for her best and funniest film, co-starring Jacques Charrier, proud papa of Bibi's new baby.
Are they really married?
Bridget Bardot, Babette, goes to war, and that's from 1959. What a piss-poor movie that looks
like. Thank you. That was a great job.
Oh, my God.
That was very, very well done.
Oh, man.
Very well done.
All right.
That was great.
So we have one more piss-poor movie trailer, and there is a pistachio or other earthen object at risk here.
All right. So I got one pistachio.
Yeah.
Now I
see if you can go two for two. The next movie is called Fighting Phantom.
Fighting Phantom.
Yes.
Okay, I never heard of this movie.
Here is your number one option. A cowboy dons a mask and rides in the night to avenge the wrongs of evildoers.
Okay.
Option number two. Hilarity ensues when a beatnik ghost helps police fight organized crime in Chicago.
Okay.
And option three. A down-on-his-luck boxer with nothing left to lose joins a secret underground brawling league. So that's Fighting Phantom.
Frank,
what do you think?
You're reading it. The one that jumped out at me is number two. I hope it's number two.
Hilarity ensues when a beatnik ghost helps police fight organized crime in Chicago.
It's got to be that
Fighting Phantom.
Is that it?
Sorry, I get to eat the pistachio. It was number one. Check it out, the Fighting Phantom. Here we go.
Which one is it?
It is the cowboy. Check this out.
All right.
And we're going.
He's not a ghost now, the Phantom.
Roaring guns. And singing slugs. Scream, adventure, and action in The Fighting Phantom. Starring Irvin Pichel, Gail Patrick, Kent Taylor.
These people.
Sweet amigo, if you do not wish to commit suicide, come away from the death.
Wait a minute.
The mysterious writer. Hey, boy! Come up here, hurry up!
It's a white guy with a Spanish accent.
Yeah.
Loaded with action, suspense, adventure, and danger.
Danger. The guy jumps on his horse.
He ruptures himself.
The Rip Snorton story of a buckaroo.
Rip Snorting?
Double life, riding in the night to avenge the wrongs of the day.
The Rip Snorting story.
Gun, Foster. You'd only make it worse.
I'll shoot the first man that tries to come through this door.
A ghostly gallop in the night. And a mysterious rider is on his way to Gunsmoke and Glory in The Fighting Phantom.
Zane Grey's Fighting Phantom.
Adapted from The Mysterious Rider.
Oh, they should have left it a book. Oh, my God. That's piss poor.
And that was from 1933. The Fighting Phantom. The guy, a buckaroo. So.
I want to see the other movie get made you came up with. What was that title? What happens in the second
one? The Beatnik Ghost Helps Police Fight Organized Crime in Chicago.
That would have been great.
But no more. Thank sorry. You. That was it. No, no more. I'm sorry. No. I only did two this week. Aww. Oh, okay. Next week I'll do more.
All right, do more. Do more.
All right, everyone, come on. Yeah, all right.
That was well done.
So there you go. That's our. You see how things are developing here on the Anything But Monday show? As weeks go on, if you're a premium subscriber, you will see in real time how we develop everything and everything gets done in a way of...
in a very efficient way that we get things done. All the time.
So what do you have? I have stuff. You have stuff. What are we doing now?
I think that, you know, one of the things I really want to do before we go any further, I've been going by Mad Mike for a while right now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that maybe I can change my name.
You can change your name.
I think that, why didn't you think that, doesn't it be good? Like, I think it should be, everybody could change their name every 5 years. It should be a mandatory law that everybody has to change their name every 5 years and rotate their name to something different. Make it creative. Make it fun.
That'd be cool.
Aren't you bored of Frank?
Frank and Edward Mike. Nora. Frank and Mike.
I mean, isn't it like, all right.
Oh, those are the same names we even had back in like college.
Yeah,
stuff.
Think about it. We've had these names for like, what, 40 years? Over 40
so
years?
So you're saying you have to keep the same name until you're reincarnated, then you get a new name.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, but why? Is reincarnation funny?
It's hilarious.
Isn't that hilarious? All right.
Dying and then being reborn?
That's hysterical. All right. Anyway, so you know, so I want your help, Frank. What do you? Yeah. These are some names I came up with for myself that I might want to go with for a while.
Okay, you want to rename yourself Mad Mike Masters from that to something else.
The first one I came up with, you know, Johnny Hardcore.
Johnny Hardcore. That's a good one.
Johnny Hardcore.
Yeah, Johnny Hardcore.
Hey, Johnny Hardcore is here.
Hi, I'm Johnny Hardcore.
Hi, I'm Johnny Hardcore. I'm here for the job.
Yeah.
You can't. That's a good job, right?
Give me some pistachios. I'm Johnny Hardcore.
Exactly. Here's a little bit of a stretch. How about Dickman Jones?
Dickman Jones. That's a good one. Hey, you're going to be.
Dickman Jones.
Dickman Jones. That sounds good.
Kind of cool. Hey, I'm Dickman Jones.
I'm Dickman Jones. Yeah.
Here's a good name. Here's another one. Tentacles McGee.
Tentacles. I like that one.
That one.
Tentacles McGee.
Tentacles McGee.
Hey there, I'm Tentacles McGee. How are you doing there?
You don't meet a lot of people walking around with them tentacles, do you?
He's a squid wrangler, yeah.
Exactly. Here's my other one, a favorite one. Flavius Dog Humper.
Flavius Dog Humper.
Yes, I'm here for the pet sitting position. My name is Flavius Dog Humper.
That's a good one.
I thought it would be a good one.
Yeah.
Here's another good one. This one came back from my childhood. BM Commode.
BM Commode.
I'm here to pick up your daughter. My name is BM Commode. Oh, your mother used to say, go make a BM. Remember that one?
Yeah.
You thought BM was an actual object. It really took some bowel movement.
Wait, so BM means shit.
Exactly. It means bowel movement.
So the Anything But Monday show is abmshow.com. Yeah, that means a shit show.com. Our show is a BM. It's a shit show. I can't believe it. We invested so much money in this and we're in this shit show. I can't believe it. Are you telling me the people are listen, we're a BM show.
A BM show, yeah.
That sucks.
That's not the periods in there. A, B period, M period, it'd be worse.
We're okay.
So BM Commode, I'm here, you know, that one.
Yeah.
The other one, Cletus Anal Prober.
Cletus Anal Prober.
Yes, I'm here for the teaching position. Third grade, did you say? Cletus Anal Prober here at your service. One of those ones. And
Cletus Anal Prober.
And the other one was Ulysses S. Grant.
That's a good one.
Been used before?
Ulysses, no. Get out of here.
I don't know, but these are the ones that, off the top of my head, I just came with. Do you have any ideas for any names? I mean, I just thought one of those names would be good. What do you think? What do you like the best out of those ones? Johnny Hardcore, Dickman Jones, Tentacles McGee, Flavius Dog Humper.
I like Tentacles McGee. That's a good one.
You like BM Commode or Cletus?
I like BM Commode, but I like Tentacles McGee even better.
Tentacles McGee?
Yeah.
All right. So from the rest of the show, you refer to me as Tentacles.
Tentacles.
Tentacles McGee. All right.
Great.
That'd be my new name. That'd be my new name, Tentacles McGee.
Excellent. Excellent.
Any of those would work good when you go to pick up your daughter. Yes, I'm here for Mary for the first date. Your name, son? Yes, my name is Tentacles McGee. You get through the front door with that one, right?
Yeah. All right. So I think now it is time for the analysis of many things. Are you ready?
Yes. Now, we really got to spice up this feature here, but I'm starting off with this feature because I have something that's going to shock and amaze you.
All right.
I get a little ring on the phone today.
Yeah.
And it's the post office saying to me, you have a package.
United States Post Office?
No, it's actually the UPS store.
Anyway,
they call us up and say, you have a box.
A box?
So this is the actual first official piece of mail that the Anything But Money show has received today.
Did we give out the address?
Yeah, it's on the contact information, but the address of the Anything But Money show is...
Let me. Do you have it in handy?
It's 759 Bloomfield Avenue, number 326, West Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. Yes. Send us all kinds of... If you want to send random crap the other way for the show, we'd love to receive your packages.
Yeah.
So I get there, and there's this nondescript brown package there.
What?
And they said, they're like, take it. So they want me to get out of there really fast. So I said, I'm suspicious of everything right now since we did this show. So I released the Anything on Monday bomb sniffing dogs on it.
Yeah.
And all they did is whiz on it. So I guess it's okay. They didn't do anything else with it. I'm leaving it for you to open because it's I think you know who it's from, but it came, and I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna let you open on the show live on the air.
All right, take pictures. Where's the camera?
I have the camera, and you're going to open this mystery box, the first official piece of mail that's ever come to the Anything But Monday show.
And this is real. This is not fake.
This is not made up. Frank does not know I received this packet. I just sprung it on him.
This is the first time. Mike is springing a lot of things on me tonight.
Yeah.
The new name, the World Trade Center thing, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of good stuff.
Right. Why don't you turn the flash on, too? No, don't lift it. Press the... Give me.
Push the...
Because sometimes it's out of focus when you take the pictures without the...
Yeah, I'm a technical genius with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, try it now.
All right, great. Here we go.
This is an actual package.
Actual package. The Anything with Money bomb sniffing dogs have made sure that it is safe. Other than pissing on it, whizzing on it, it is.
I don't. Do I have a knife?
Like, right. What did I tell you before we started the show?
To find a sharp object.
What were my exact words? I said, to find a sharp object. I said to you, a halberd's never going to cut that box without destroying what the contents is.
That's true.
Right? I said to you, right?
I had a Swiss Army knife here before, but I think I took it home. I'll use a pen. Just sort of jam it in there.
Now the disaster's going to destroy that. As that pen breaks and ink goes over everywhere, I can see that.
Don't you have any like sharp objects around here? Anything?
Yeah.
Wait, there's a drawer here. Ooh, look at this. There's some stuff in here.
What do we have in the studio, Frank? I told you what we got.
This is one of those staple removers.
Well, if it's sharp.
That's kind of sharp.
Yeah, if it's sharp.
Take pictures as I'm doing this because it's kind of visual.
Yeah, it's great visual for you now, but not for you. Frank, this is a good picture of you wrangling with the box, trying to get it open.
Well, we can say who it's from because it says on the outside.
The mishap is about, you know.
It's from one of our greatest listeners, Matt Mason, who was a fan of our work the first time around.
And now a premium listener.
Premium listener, Matt Mason. He's now in Florida. Ow! This is like.
Oh, God.
Take pictures. Come on, so people can see.
You know.
I can't believe we actually received the package.
You know, for the listeners who are listening out there, I thought this was going to be a good feature here.
Take pictures.
I'm taking pictures, Frank.
Did you open this already, or you didn't?
I did not open the box. I
can't believe this is the sharpest thing we have. And
there are other sharp things here, Frank. You know, but you know, I told you prepared. You said you have something.
All right, we got it. Here we go.
So this is from one of our premium listeners, a gift,
Matt Mason.
We don't know what exactly it is. It's come from Matt from Florida. Frank is opening it live in the air. What could it be? You're leaving me in suspense. What the hell is it?
Cafe latte. Bitter and sweet cafe latte candy.
Yes. And
we have wasabi peas.
Are you a wasabi pea fan?
Yes, I love wasabi peas, and it has earthen objects in it. Oh. What else do we have here?
And
Nori Hineri Norisuke! Yeah! Yeah! Norisuke! Yeah!
What the hell is he? What is that?
I don't know. And then we have the Yan Yan.
Where did he find this stuff?
I do remember now, he did email me, and he said he found this in Epcot.
Epcot?
I think, yeah.
As in Epcot Center.
Epcot Center.
I've never been there.
Ah, the Botan Rice Candy!
Okay. And the last item in the box, is that it?
You're saying that hopefully that is last. We have chocolate ate shiporu tenren choco.
What the hell is that?
It's a long line of Japanese things.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? And there's one final.
I have one simple request. And that is to have sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads.
There's a box within a box.
All right. This is the last thing that's in there?
I don't know. Here's a peanut, and there's another peanut.
This is a bad idea.
What? What do you mean?
From now on, no more opening packages. I'm going to open up the contents first. No offense to our listeners who send us stuff from now on. The other thing in the box is what? It is what? A can of something.
Hold on. It's in a Ziploc bag. A can of UCC coffee. Take a picture.
Okay, UCC coffee and
Ume juice. Yes.
Beautiful. Great. Great feature, Frank.
I do have some insight into this phenomenon.
All right, so tell me a little bit about this.
I had completely forgotten it, but I was in discussions with Matt about obtaining Japanese Epcot products for my other show. And I gave him this address to mail it to.
So now it became part of this show.
I totally forgot. I blanked out.
Why are you sending me people send shit to, for
no,
you?
No, he said he's like, he goes to Epcot all, you know, Epcot's in Disney World.
Yeah.
And they have Japan there.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's going to.
Isn't Japan in?
No, it's in Epcot.
It was in the ocean.
They have like Canada and France and stuff. So he's like, hey, there's some really great stuff. And this is great stuff. I have not seen a lot of this stuff. And he's like, hey, can I give you some of this stuff for you to review on the show? And I said, yes. Well, I gave him this address because I figured it would be easier.
Right.
I completely forgot about it. What are you eating there?
I don't know. This is some kind of...
So it has now been transferred. It has now been transferred to the Anything But Monday show. We have hijacked...
Yeah, a box meant for your other
for the Overnightscape at theovernightscape.com. I always got to give a plug for my other show, theovernightscape.com.
All right. So that's it. That was the analysis of many things. That's it, right? For tonight?
I found something at 7-Eleven.
One thing,
What are you reviewing here? Tell me what you're doing.
I'm eating some kind of candy.
Wait, we got to get a picture of it as a record. A
sesame choco and biscuit.
This is the chocolate... Chaporu Tenren Choco.
It's some sesame choco and biscuit.
All right, keep that because I got to... How is it?
It's good, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I'll stick it in my pocket so
milk
I can...
choco. Okay.
Because I need to write this down in the description.
I agree.
How was it?
It was great.
Well, I have to have something. Okay. Give me one. What is that? This is a long line of things. What is this? It's the chocolate almond. And there's an almond character, like Mr. Almond.
All right, move it along. Let's go. On to the next thing.
Dude, I love Japanese products.
What did you buy? What did you buy 7-Eleven for me to look at? Let's move on to the next feature. We're getting to get to some stuff that we never got to before in this show. We're going to do that. So let's go.
We have to do a super video battle soon.
No, we're already taking too much time on this. We'll get to super video battle later. Does everyone ever wonder? There's the news. We have a lot of stuff we got to do. So get to
it. Yeah, but we're only at like the 1 hour and 16 minute mark.
Just.
All right, I'll put it over.
Where did you go to 7-Eleven?
Yes. Hold on.
Of course, I noticed once again you arrived today with coffee again without getting me a fucking coffee.
Oh, damn, I forgot.
Thanks.
I keep forgetting that.
Frank gets out of his car. We pull up coincidentally at the same time tonight. He's all smiling ear to ear, and he pulls out this big coffee. I'm thinking, oh, great. He's taking one out. He's going to give me a coffee. Nothing.
There you go. UCC coffee.
Great.
You want that one?
Yeah, with milk. Oh, thanks. No, Frank, I gave up coffee with a can for Lent.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Mike, I have to. I'm somewhat selfish. I'm sorry. I forgot to get you. But I did get you something else.
Great. What'd you get me? This is from 7-Eleven? You bought me this?
Yes.
Is it for me, or are you just saying it's for me?
No, it's for the analysis of many things. So, here we go. Another thing to review on the analysis of many things.
Yep.
Now, as we're recording this now, it's the middle of the night. We're doing this again. It's 1:26 a.m., okay? We have many hours to go. We will not be done probably until sun up.
We're not going to make it.
We're going to make it.
No. Our marriages are not going to make it.
Now, look.
I just can tell. I know it.
Now, look. We need energy, okay? That's why I've been drinking coffee, trying everything. You know, sometimes you get the energy drinks. You drink coffee.
Right.
There is a new way to get energy.
What is it, Frank?
What do you like better, green or blue?
Depends what it is.
Just tell me, green or blue?
I like, I'll have blue.
Here we go.
What the hell is this?
This is the new Ecolips Energy Lip Balm. Okay?
Energy Lip.
Yes.
Caffeine, green tea, and B12. Oh, this is something else.
This is lip balm, kind of like chapstick, right. But it is energy. So you put it on your lips and you get energy from it.
And it's got a little, what is this?
Like a little mountain climbing
lanyard,
thing.
What do they call these things?
Lanyard. Yeah.
And you know, the great thing about this is it smells very chemically. And the ingredients include castor oil.
Castor oil?
As a first, castor wax.
Is that vegetarian? Or?
Organic jojoba oil, organic beeswax, caffeine.
Yes.
Organic essential oil of peppermint, organic essential oil of spearmint, vitamin E, green tea extract, vitamin B12, and rosemary extract. They actually took something from between rosemary legs and put it on in this thing.
So now I'm still taking pictures of mine, but now you're saying that this is... There's actual caffeine in the lip balm, and it will actually give you energy.
Yeah, sure.
Here we go.
How much caffeine could you possibly put in your lips?
No, it absorbs through your lips, I'm telling you. Let me get mine going. I figured I didn't want to share one with you, so.
It's actually not bad. You know, actually, if
it has a little cap, too, so you can carry it around with yourself.
I'll let you know, if you're a female listener and you sign up for the show, okay, we will each kiss you with these lip balm on. We will do that personally.
It's a really good lip balm, too, isn't it?
Is that something feasible we can do? They can come to us. If they come to us, if they're a female listener, they'll get a kiss from Mike and Frank of the Anything Monday show with this lip balm on their lips. Right?
I like this. This stuff actually is quite tasty. It's infused lip balm with caffeine, green tea, and vitamin B12.
Why are you avoiding that subject?
What subject?
You don't want to talk about the we're trying to get more female listeners here.
Hold on. Let me get a picture of you with that.
What if I just rub it? What if for the female listeners, Frank, I rubbed it someplace else?
Okay. Wait, put some more on so I can get a picture of you putting it on. Hold on. I got to zoom in. Hold on. Here we go.
Is this a cool thing to do? I don't think it's even a cool thing to do.
It's a great picture.
It's, not even, it's not a cool thing to do.
Lip balm is cool.
Yeah, lip balm is cool? Okay.
All right. Here, get a picture of me putting lip balm on.
All right. This is it.
All right, here we go.
That last thing, I've announced so many things. Frank putting lip balm on. Yeah, you look nice and gay in that picture. That yep, you're definitely homosexual with that picture. Yep, no doubt about it. I just slide it into your mouth while you're at it.
I'm not. I'm just trying to pose. All right, fine.
Oh, God.
I like this lip balm, but now we got to see if we feel it.
I bet you do.
We got to see if we feel energy.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you for that. And the used lip balm.
We keep this.
We don't send the lip balm to somebody in the box of many things or a box of crap?
I don't know. We already used it, but I'm gonna use mine.
I'm gonna use it mine too. I'm gonna see if I get more energy throughout the course of the day. I like it. It's got a nice little twang to it. And this has been the analysis
of many things. Thanks for listening to the analysis.
I get a voiceover for that. So on to the next thing. What do we have up next on the Ending of Monday show, Frank?
Audio from the past or super video battle?
That's the best you can come up with. We're skipping you.
Wait.
We are not doing that.
All right. You do something, then I'll do something.
I tell you,
have a lot of things.
I think that's what we got to do. I think we got to talk about real life insanity is what we got to go over because everybody loves our stories because they're all
real life insanity.
They're
yes.
always true.
Yes.
I mean, this is always true stuff, and no one wants to believe it, but this stuff is tough. Actually,
sometimes we improvise, and like the snow monkey thing I just did before, whatever, what was the thing?
The sea monkey.
Yeah, like that was improvised, but this is real. This is true. 100% yeah. real.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Even before you start.
Okay, look.
That was a preemptive shh.
Okay.
Shh.
Go.
Shh.
Go. Go.
Shh. All right. So this story takes place back in our college days again.
Yeah.
Once again, this is the true story of how Frank and I were almost abducted by Hare Krishnas.
Yes, that really
did
happen.
Frank, why don't you actually set up the story about how we come to be almost abducted by Hare Krishnas? Hare Krishnas.
Well, we were in college at Drew University. It was probably like 1987 or something, or 88. And we were in a class called New Religious Movements in America.
So you can imagine this class.
Yeah. And we were
it was a night class, remember?
Yeah.
Because the reason why we took it because it fulfilled the requirement, and one of the great requirements it fulfilled is that we'd have to be in the class during the day because basically it was it was one of those blow off classes you went to. It was 3 hours once a week.
Oh yeah,
It was perfect. It was like 7 o'clock at night to like 10 or some kind of crazy hour.
Yeah.
Or 7 to 9:30. So and of course Frank and I would always show up at the class with trays of food.
Yeah.
We'd walk across the entire campus from the cafeteria with a full tray of food and eat in class. And I distinctly remember some student in the class, some girl going, "Why'd you throw them out? They're so disrespectful." I'm like fuck yeah. you bitch.
We were assholes, man.
We were total assholes. And we just like ate the food. I'm in my Hawaiian shirts, of course.
Oh, so he's sitting there eating like a bowl of cereal or something, yeah, like Raisin Bran.
And of course, the teacher, the professor, looked like Fred Flintstone.
Oh yeah,
he looked like Fred.
Yeah,
in his big pumpkin head. I think he was an Orthodox Jew. Now that I think about it, now what his name was, he was probably Orthodox Jew. Or we just make fun of the guy.
What was his name? Levin or Levitt or something?
I don't know what his name was. I totally forget what his name was. It was some kind of longer name. You know, I forget what it was. But anyway, the class was New Religious Movements in America.
Yeah,
we spent the better part of the entire class in a coma. You know, we never did any work, never participated, never did anything. And then the final assignment of the class is, okay?
Yeah.
Pick a new religious movement in America and do a report on it, right?
Yeah.
So you could pick any new, and most of people are picking cults of all different sorts, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But one of the things this guy did.
Like the Sullivanian psychotherapists?
What the hell are they?
It's an obscure cult.
Okay. Anyway, so what happened was, you know, he had brought in some people to speak once, and one day he brings in this guy to speak to our class, and his name is Vishnu Gada.
Vishnu Gada, I remember it well. Okay? Yes.
Now, of course, Vishnu Gada is actually a white guy from the Midwest who went to Purdue University.
Yeah.
Okay, and somehow hit his head on some sharp object and woke up proclaiming himself a Hare Krishna one day.
Yeah.
This is an educated man with an advanced education. All right.
Because, I mean, Hare Krishna is sort of like based in India.
Yeah.
Like on the...
Well, Hare Krishna, it actually...
The Hindu.
In Hindu, means Jesus Christ. It does.
Wait a second.
Hare Krishna, in Hindu, it means... Yeah, and it's the truth. It's the truth. Look it up. It's supposed to take. It's supposed to be a religion that sprung from when Jesus, all those lost years, and he was wandering. It's the truth. When he was wandering and lost, you know, and they said that, and then there was the Trinity, and there was like Vishnu, Rava, whatever.
Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva.
Shiva, which mirrors the Holy Trinity.
The creator, the preserver, and the destroyer.
Right, and that mirrors the Holy Trinity. Or the Three Stooges. I don't remember which one, but yeah. It was one of those three. Right?
Shiva's best way to destroy certain objects.
Exactly.
Everything.
Wipe out the planet. All right. Yeah. But anyway, so he basically comes into the class, and he's going to have this guy speak to the class.
Yeah, he's a very normal looking, like a white guy. Totally normal looking. He's not like an Indian guy. He's just this guy.
He didn't come in this
He's like, hey guys, I'm Vishnu Gada.
Hey, I'm Vishnu Gada. I'm from Kansas City, and I went to Boyard University, and he's going on. And he's talking, and he's with his wife.
Yeah.
Very nice woman. He has a wife. His wife with him as well too. And of course, we've learned about the higher Christians and how they have all these restrictions. And women are supposedly treated like they're like, you know,
second class citizens.
Yeah. You never see them. They're locked away.
Yeah.
And we're asking, you know, no, it's not like that.
It's not like that.
You know, it's not whatever. And of course, he's there debunking all the myths that there are about higher Christians.
Yeah.
Like the guys you see jumping around the airport, bring you flowers.
Yeah. The saffron colored robes. You have these guys. You know,
stuff you saw in airplanes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, that stuff.
Right. Yeah. The thing that they've seen you saw on an airplane when they come up to you and they're assaulting you in their movie Airplane.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's talking and whatever. So they of course leave, and we had a nice meeting with them all. And our big idea is like, Frank.
Yeah.
Because we basically he said we're going to fail this class if we didn't do something spectacular.
I know. We were on the edge.
On the edge. So this is the thing. So we said, what we're going to do? We're going to do some field research. See, everybody else is doing library research. They're looking up how all these different cults and, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists, I'll do a report on them. Frank and I had the bright idea. You know what? You know, they live nearby. There's a big conclave nearby.
Yeah.
We'll go out in the middle of the night and hang out with them, you know, and just learn about the Hare Krishnas, do an actual hands-on field report, which we were going to come back to and report back to the class. This is like the classic Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You know, like we had to get back in class by a certain time with the information that we had found and deliver to the class about our experiences with the Hare Krishnas. Now, no one was doing this. We were the only ones adding it. Were nuts.
This was our last chance to pass this class.
To go out in the field and hang out with a cult. Right?
Yeah.
So this is what we do. So we find out where they are, and we get the okay to go. Like, we call up Vishnu Gada. Somehow.
How did we get Vishnu Gada's phone number? We looked it up in the phone book? Vishnu. V. Gada V.
But anyway.
No, but their house was in New Jersey.
It was in Montville.
It was near Butler, right? That area?
It was a big, gigantic mansion they had.
All these Hare Krishnas lived together in a giant house.
It was on a hill.
Yeah.
In this beautiful mansion that was in the middle of, like, Montville, New Jersey. Look it up on a map, see where that is. Okay.
I wonder if they're still there. I'm going to look them up.
Whatever the case may be. But we find out, we get the invite to go. We get the okay to go, right?
Yeah.
So the Hare Krishna faith believes, like, you know, you get to bed. You don't stay up when it's dark. You know, you got to get to bed real early. They didn't believe in, like, doing anything in the dark at nighttime or something like that. So
they're afraid of the dark. They're a bunch of wimps.
They're pussies.
Yeah.
So they go to bed. They have to go to bed really early, and they get up really early when it's light out. The problem is, they start their day at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Now, the
flawed logic there. Last time I checked, there's no place in the world in this hemisphere, okay, that is light out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so as a matter of fact, one of the Indian guys said, "Why would you be up so late? You know, nothing is done in the dark." Yeah. Meanwhile, you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? So we trek out there. Now, first of all, Frank and I are virtually nocturnal as it is.
Yeah.
So that's our bedtime. We usually go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We stayed up the whole time, right?
Yeah, we used to go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But not this night, because we had to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So we didn't go to bed. So we're already very weak-minded as it is already for starters. And now we're also exhausted and not slept at all. And we drive out, I don't know if it was Frank's car or my car, and we show up at this mansion in Montville, which we somehow find. Right?
I mean, it must have been like we were driving on these back roads. We're trying to find this place. We pull up to this mansion. It was still dark out.
Right. And we there's no lights. and here we are. We're like, it's like, you know, you figure that you hear the spooky noises and everything.
Yeah.
Like, and we're walking up to the front steps. And we get to the top front steps. And we look in the little window. There's those little glass panels.
Yeah.
And you look in the window. And all you see is an open room beyond the lights.
Yeah.
And there's all the hardwood floors. And everybody's prancing around already. There's music playing and prancing around and everything else.
A bunch of weirdos.
So we're like ringing the bell. No one's answering. Because their music's playing. So we got pissed off. So I start, like, banging on. I'm on the door. I'm like, like, as loud as I can. I'm like, open the fuck. I'm like, I'm so pissed because I'm banging the door like that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this guy walks by, this Indian guy, he freaks out. Like, you're like, he's all scared because, you know, we look at me in front.
Yeah.
Look at the picture of us, what we look like. You know?
Yeah, back then, wow.
They thought we were like, because you know what the problem was? They told us, once they let us in,
yeah.
All right, they told us that they get a lot of people to come harass them.
Yeah.
They get like vandals and people showing up at the house all the time. They get harassed a lot. So they thought we were
ruffians.
They thought we were hoodlums.
Yeah.
Coming to the house. So they finally let us in. And what happens, Frank? Take it from here.
Well, we went inside there. I'm trying to think where I remember. It was...
They bring us into the big main room.
Yeah, the main room.
Vishnu Gadana is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and then... So basically, they were all... Like, they have to say this certain phrase 20,000 times a day, was it?
Something like that.
They have to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And you got to say that 108 times, something like that.
No, no, it was thousands of times a day because you had these prayer beads.
Right, and you sat...
And you had to go around... You had, like, two of them, so you had to, like, go around... Like 50 of them,
like a rosary, only
yeah,
more.
It was like 2,500 times
more,
or something.
It's like a rosary, only much more painful.
Yeah, but you had to say every morning. You had to say that phrase, and it
was like
1,500 times, literally thousands of times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And these people had figured out how to say it so fast. They're like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
And the scary thing was, we got that good at it.
Yeah,
they
memorized it.
They made us sit there.
We were praying to Krishna
in front of the statues.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
They had the statues. First, they're washing down
Hare,
these.
Hare.
Remember that? They're washing down the statues.
Oh, yeah.
They're bathing in the statues. There's three statues. The guy's sponging them down. So we walk in, this guy's sponge bathing the statues. We're sitting down on this hardwood floor with our legs crossed. Okay? Like, and it's like, my back is killing me, my neck. I'm like, Hare Krishna, give me an aspirin. I'm like, the pain is shooting down my arm. My hands are numb. So Frank and I, just wait, just keep doing this, right? So we're doing this. And I'm like, Frank, you know, I'm looking at him. And I think we're in. And then the next thing we know, this old Indian guy comes out of the back. And he must have been like 90 years old. And he plops down in front of us. And he just starts trying to mind control us. Remember that?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he's like looking at us. He's trying to like, using x-ray vision or something. He's like looking at those eyes.
Like
what was he doing?
Like that friggin' Dalsim guy, yeah.
What was he doing with us?
He was like staring at us, you know?
He's trying to convince the error of our ways, like we should convert, we should do all these things. And I want to half believe in him at this time.
At that point, you have no sleep. You're chanting.
You're chanting on a hardwood floor. Then I don't know where it went from there, but I think finally Vishnu Gadara showed up.
Well, Vishnu Gadara showed up, and he brought us, I guess he brought us to the lunchroom or whatever, and we started eating vegetarian food or for breakfast.
Yeah, but the first thing was, he goes, hey, Vishnu, you know, hey, Gada, you know, where's the wife? Okay, nowhere to be found. Turns out the wife's locked up in the attic with all the other women.
Oh, yeah.
So much for the open religion thing. Oh, God, they're up in the attic.
No, that's
locked.
True. Yeah, they were locked away.
They're locked away. Didn't see them the entire time we were there. You know, and remember, that was a religion. They only can have sex to make God-conscious children.
Yeah.
They can't have sex at all.
Like, can you have sex? Yes, we can, to make God-conscious children.
How do you figure that out? How do you know if the kid's going to be God-conscious?
Oh, God.
You have control over that? You have to concentrate really hard? Are you banging a chick? They go, okay, be God-conscious. Be God-conscious. Be God-conscious. Be God-conscious.
That was whacked out.
That what you do?
Yeah.
That was whacked. And they also don't believe that
the moon landing. I was sort of skeptical, but then the guy's like, you know, we are totally vegetarian, and then he's like, we don't believe that they went to the moon. We think the Apollo missions were fake. I'm like, oh, yeah, I do too. And I was like bonding with them. I'm like, Mike, these guys are vegetarians. They don't believe in the moon missions. I'm like, these guys are pretty cool.
Oh, you know? And then Grant and Frank, like, Frank, snap out of it. And then they whisked Frank. They split us up. That's when things really started getting bad. They split me and Frank up.
Yeah.
They whisked him off the side of the room. I don't know where he goes. And then they bring me in the room where Vishnu Gadara is reading the scriptures.
The Bhagavad Gita. See, I can't believe I remember all this crap.
He's reading the scripture with
the Bhagavad Gita.
Where's the music? Where's the citron music? There's a perfect time. So he's reading the music for us. Right?
Vishnu Gadara.
Exactly. That's what happened. So he's reading the music.
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
He's reading the scriptures in Sanskrit. So he's
great.
He doesn't even know what he's saying himself because he's white as white can be. Who's sitting in the room that's supposed to be following along with the Sanskrit? Me and three homeless people.
Really?
Because basically they take anybody off the street. They can Shanghai.
They got him from Morris House.
Yeah, and they bring him into. They bring him in because if anybody comes in, get a hot meal, you know, and listen to them on the Sanskrit, which is being pumped through the entire place through loudspeaker, right?
Yeah.
So he would go like this. Mike, what is your interpretation on that scripture? Gee, Vishnu Gada, I would know because I don't know what the fuck you just said. I'm like, I have no idea what he's saying. How am I supposed to know that? Oh, very good. Next guy, you know, and then it was, the funny thing was, the homeless guy would start chanting the Sanskrit. He's like, making up shit. He's making up all this different stuff. I'm like, what are you saying? You know, not just to get a meal. He's doing this whole thing, you know, and when he's going around the room. So after we did a while of this, Frank and I are reunited. I don't, what are you playing?
Hare Krishna. I forgot.
Oh, that's not working. So anyway, we had our lunch. We had our vegetarian meal, and you know, we had that. We ate together. That's pretty good. And you know, and we met that really hip Indian young guy, right? The young kid that was there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and so we somehow survived. Somehow we got out of that. I forget how the whole thing ended. Eventually.
Well, the guy kept pressuring us. Oh, you will come back. You will come back. You will come back. He was like trying to mind control us.
Frank, we should go back there.
Let's go. They're waking up about now. It's about an hour. By the time
yeah,
we get there.
Great, great. Yeah.
No, we're not that far from Montville here.
Yeah.
Was it in Tawako? I found the directions to Tawako.
Is it in Tawako?
100 Jacksonville Road, Tawako, New Jersey.
They're still there?
Yeah. Cool. I think they are.
Cool.
Should we go? They have a live cam. Hold on a second.
Wait a minute. You actually going to...
We're going to look into their Tawako house. Here we go.
Tawako house, live cam. Let's see if it brings
it
back...
It must have been Tawako,
it's
right?
It's got to be.
It's a broken link. they suck at the website.
Hare Krishna suck at computers.
I want to see
them. They suck.
Oh, man. I wanted to see them.
I would love to see this
live cam.
Actually, no, Frank. That is actually live cam. Someone put a sheet over the lights. Put a sheet over the camera.
Do they have Vishnu... whatever happened to Vishnu Gada? Oh, you know, I was in an airport. I don't know where. I think maybe I was going out to Utah, and I saw some Hare Krishnas there. And I said, "Hey, do you know Vishnu Gada?" He's like, "Yeah, I know Vishnu is from New Jersey." I was like, I was bonding with these guys at the airport. Vishnu Gada is a very famous guy.
Frank, the only man in history that actually walked up to the Hare Krishnas in airports.
I know.
To them.
I know.
They probably start running away from you. So that was a Hare Krishna. We got back to school. Of course, what do? We tell the story to the class.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like flabbergasted. The entire it's like, what? Really? They couldn't believe it. Like we told this whole story. And then, of course, Frank, we're going back and forth, telling the whole story very convincingly. Just like you'd seen the movie in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and we get an A. And we passed the class because we got an A.
I know.
He was so impressed that we would go spend a lot of time with him. You know? And of course we came back and we slept for like a day after we got back.
That was
so
ridiculous.
Exhausted. You know,
we deprogrammed ourselves. I'm trying to find the Hare Krishna thing. I can't find this crap. Forget it.
Just don't get it, do you?
No, I don't. I don't get it.
All right, look, let's move on. That was our story with the Hare Krishna. Now, Frank, you brought up one other story that we got to tell. Now, we have two choices here.
Yeah.
We can either tell your firework story off the roof story or my bachelor party story. What's it going to be? Your fireworks story is probably a little shorter than my bachelor party story. I think the bachelor party story entices the premium listeners to come back. Because if you thought the brawl in the movie theater and it was good. And you know what? The people that have spoken, they love the brawl in the movie theater story.
Yeah, they really do.
You're going to love Mike's bachelor party story for sure. And Frank was actually at my bachelor party.
I was there. Were you at my bachelor party?
Was I at your bachelor party? Where was your bachelor party?
We went to the All-Star Cafe and then we went to play giant robot battles at Laser Park.
Yeah, I think you invited me. Did I go? I can't remember, man.
It was giant robot battles.
Loser, man.
It was cool. It was a lot of fun. We played giant robot battles.
I guess I didn't go to that one.
No, you didn't go.
I missed that one. All right.
Well, I guess, all right. So that one will be a teaser for that one. Yeah, but you want to tell the story about, look, we were assholes. Are we still assholes?
You never fully get over
now,
that.
Look, a lot of times when I think back on some of these events in my life, I can't believe what a freaking
douchebag
I was. I mean, this is just takes the cake. I can't even believe this really happened.
And of course, involved in egging
it was Mike's
on.
Fault. It was Mike's fault.
It's all my fault.
Okay, so this takes place when I was. When we met in college, right? We were both at Drew University, but after a year, 2 years of me and Mike's
mayhem,
our hijinks,
yeah.
My parents who were footing the bill for this college, which was. which was a pretty penny, right? This is not. I had no scholarships. I didn't have anything. They were paying the money. God knows how much money this was. How much was it to go to that school?
It was $12,000 a year.
$12,000 a year
with room and board.
Yeah.
Now you can't get a semester. You can't get a semester there for that much anymore.
So meanwhile, I start off school. I'm doing really well and everything. And then we start doing this Anything But Monday show. And my grade average went from I had a 3.9 or not like a 3.2 went to like a 2.3. Okay, my grades were. And every time I talk to my parents, they're like, "Oh, how's school? What are you learning?" Well, I have a magazine and I have this radio show, and we're being brought up on human rights.
And every other word of his mouth is Mike this and Mike that.
And me and Mike wrote something in our magazine, and now we're being brought up on human rights violation charges at school. And we got in trouble for this. We got in trouble for that. So my parents decided that it might be a good idea for me to transfer to another school and get away from Mad Mike Masters. That was their plan.
Did it work? No.
Anyway, I wound up going to NYU to the film school. And I had when you go to NYU, it's in New York City. It's in Lower Manhattan. So you instead of getting a dorm, I was living in an apartment building on the corner of Thompson Street and Houston Street. Mm-hmm. And if you know that area, now it's like the chic area. You probably costs like a fortune to live there.
Yeah.
But back then, this place I lived was it was a fifth floor walk up. You had to walk up five stories. I still, literally, to this day, I have nightmares about that place because it was such a, whatever, right, for your laundry or anything, you had to carry it up five flights of stairs. There was no elevator, there was nothing. And of course, you could go up on the roof of the building, which is very cool, and look down at New York City and the World Trade Center there in the distance. It was still up back then, you know. it was the 4th of July, and Mike came, I think, what year was this? It must have been the summer of 88, right? Probably 1988.
The year I graduated? Probably, could have been.
87 or 88. Yeah. It was the 4th of July. And we're there in New York City. Now, of course, fireworks are completely illegal in this part of the country.
Especially in Manhattan.
Yes. New York. The state of New York, the state of New Jersey, and especially Manhattan.
Explosive devices are frowned upon.
Fireworks are completely illegal.
Despite what you see on TV about Chinatown.
Yeah. They're illegal. They're not allowed. Right. It's against the law. So me and Mike, we're like, hey, we got to. He came over to my apartment. We're like, hey, we got to get some fireworks.
Where do we get those fireworks from?
This is what happened. You remember this?
Tell me, I forgot.
Because we're, you know, that part of Manhattan's not too far from Chinatown. We walked down into Chinatown just randomly. We had no idea what we were doing. We were just cruising.
Oh,
Chinatown.
I remember.
Okay, we were cruising Chinatown. Hey,
what did we find? The empty lot.
Yes, there was an empty. I think like we walked up to a guy and we're like, hey, we're looking. I guess there was like on the street corner fireworks, right? Because they were selling illegal fireworks. Right. We're like, yeah. So the guy leads us to an abandoned parking lot somewhere in like the worst part of Chinatown, right?
It was
it was a parking lot.
They had lookouts like at every corner with weapons.
Yeah. So we walk up this entire parking lot. There is one car with the trunk open.
Right.
We walk up to it and there are Chinese guys with baseball bats.
Right.
Literally, right?
Literally, yep.
Chinese guys with baseball bats, and they open the trunk and it is just filled with fireworks.
And we're talking fireworks like you could blow up city block fireworks.
These were huge.
These weren't like little tiny fireworks. These were like M80s and like rockets and everything else. I'm like, oh my God. And I couldn't believe this. So I don't know what we bought. What we spent on it. Like,
we spent like 40, 50 bucks.
And he's like, demonstrating what this will do. And he's like, this is a mortar. I'm like, a mortar? Give me one of those. So he had like a mortar.
I don't know what the hell we were thinking.
We bought like 1,000 bottle rockets.
I know.
Okay. Bottle rockets. We bought like that mortar thing. We bought some big sky rockets, fireworks, the whole whatever. And we just made off with them. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And we bring them back to your.
We've had these big plastic bags of all these fireworks. Right. We're scared we're going to get, caught by the cops with all our fireworks. We get back to the apartment.
Now, of course, your homosexual roommate was not there.
I don't know that he was gay. Right,
wasn't there? Oh, you, come on.
I don't know that Andrew was a gay gentleman.
Andrew, yeah, right.
He was cool.
He was cool, yeah. Sure, I'm sure it was cool when he's sharing the same bed with the guy.
Now, wait a second.
All right. So anyway, we get up there. The guy's not there. So Frank has his little apartment.
And so, one story up is the roof.
The roof.
You can go up on the roof. It's a classic New York City roof. And
tar. You picture tar with a little smoke, with a little heating vents on top and whatever it may. So we decide, hey, let's go up to the roof. Because nearby is Bleecker Street. And they have a parade going on.
Yeah.
It's the 4th of July at nighttime. Everybody's partying in the street.
Yeah.
And we're up on top of the roof. We had this bright idea. What a great vantage point for a sniper.
So we
bring all our fireworks to the roof of the building in Manhattan. So what do we start doing? Okay, I don't know where we got this thing, but there was a shade. Remember those bamboo shades?
What I had was a bamboo window shade.
Right.
That was all rolled up.
So it was
like a big cylinder.
Right. And I'm thinking, you know, when you know how you use bottle rockets outside of wiffle ball bats?
Yeah.
Now, I know this is a worldwide program, so people don't know what a wiffle ball bat is.
But these rockets are, it's a thin wooden stick, And there's like a little rocket on the end, and you light it, and
it's a bottle rocket, right?
A bottle rocket,
right,
yeah.
Right, but they're not sure what a wiffle ball bat is. That's what I'm talking to say. They know what a bottle rocket is, not a wiffle ball bat.
We don't know that.
All right.
So we have international listeners. They don't know about this all stuff. Right.
So anyway.
Yes.
They have real rockets where they are.
They have real rockets. They have rocket launchers.
They're laughing at us right now. we have shoulder launch missiles. Yeah. But anyway, we bring bottle rockets up there by the thousands with this. And I'm thinking, this would be cool. This is like a Gatling gun.
Yes.
It looks like a Gatling gun. So I'm like sticking all these rockets at the end of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, and of course we're up there. And what are we doing? We start small.
Okay? Yeah.
We start it real simple. People walking by the street are open targets for us, right? So these people would walk by below us, six stories below us, and we'd open up on like, we shoot, bam, 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 and
we were shooting these rockets down by the street.
Yeah, people are walking by, and they're like, and after a while, no one wanted to walk. Like one guy started, I never forget the guy that started pissing across the street. The guy thinks he's out of sight.
Some drunk guys.
Some guy that no one can see him pissing in the corner of the building. So we open up on him with rockets. He's like,
A hail of rockets.
A hail of rockets. Okay. The guy running, pulling up his fly, running away. It's like, serves you right for pissing on the building, you know? So we're screaming and we're yelling and we're shooting rockets off the building and like then flares are going off. And on top.
We were trying to get up to Bleecker Street.
Yeah, we were shooting rockets down on Bleecker Street.
Like, we were trying to see if we could get that far. We were like arcing them up to get to Bleecker Street
because traffic was going by there and people, not that many people. So, but after a while of doing this, it made quite a racket. So next thing you know, we got a lady. Right, this all
across the street.
Across a little woman. Right.
Yeah.
No, is it the same building? I think it was, no, next building next to us.
Yeah, it was, okay, yeah.
On the same side of the street.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So she leans out of the window. And what does she say?
She's like, I see you. I know who you are.
I see you. I know you. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah. I lean over with this entire Gatling gun full of bottle rockets. And I'm like, ah! The woman starts screaming and puts her head in the window. I pelted her. I must have pelted her window with 1,000 rockets. And she's like, ah!
Oh,
and
man.
I'm like, oh, no. We know the cop. And we thought, oh, no, for sure the cops are going to. And the thing, and I'm like, Frank, Mike, Frank's going, we got to run. The cops are going to come. I go, Frank, it's the 4th of fucking July. Every cop in the city is detained with fireworks calls. Yeah. They're not going to come. And of course they didn't because it was a perfect night because they were going to respond to a kids letting fireworks phone call on the 4th of July.
I was scared, but I figured if we went into my apartment and just locked the door, like they wouldn't know it was us, right?
Right.
But the
final straw that scared us was we had that mortar.
Yeah.
And we lit that, we had that little ledge and we lit this mortar.
Aye,
and of course,
aye, aye.
And what happened was the mortar, the force of the rocket, the mortar's going off, actually pushed the actual base of it off the side of the building.
Yeah.
So this thing weighed like 10 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, and like the laws of physics apply. So this thing hit terminal velocity going down six stories and it goes, bam! On the street below. I mean, just missed a parked car. So Frank's all panicky.
Was it still like lit at that point?
I know. It got done firing. So you ran. We got scared. We ran inside. You ran down all the way to the floor. Ran out. Grabbed it so there would be no evidence. You know. And we ran back into back into the house because we were throwing packs of firecrackers down. We were doing everything on these people. Raining death down on people. Down.
What the hell were we thinking?
It was hysterical, man. It was great.
I don't think we like hurt anyone. You think or
it's only good. We're just blowing off steam.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Some of these memories, but that shows how, like, now that I'm older, that we're older, or like I'm 39, Mike's 45 or something. I don't know how old Mike is.
Yeah, 50.
But,
I'm 50.
But like, I would be completely frightened to do something like that. But as a kid, when you're that young, when you're like 20 or whatever, you could do it.
Frank, it went full circle.
Yeah.
You were scared of your own shadow when I met you.
Yeah.
I dragged you out and made you not scared of anything.
Yeah.
And being fearless, and now you're going back to being scared of everything again.
I know. I'm a scaredy cat now. I wouldn't like shoot fireworks at people anymore. That is an amazing. Amazing tale, and totally true.
Totally true. And you heard it first here on the Anything But Monday show.
Yes.
We'll be back.
After the break, more great stuff, such as audio from the past and Super Video Battle.
Yes.
Very relaxing music.
Very relaxing music at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, it is 2 o'clock in the morning now as we're recording this.
I can see the papers being filed. On Monday for divorce.
Wait a second. Everything's fine.
Irreconcilable differences.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine.
I told my wife I'd be back around 3. Oh, wait a second. We have more than...
okay, great.
3 is not going to happen at this point.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You see all the effort we put into the show? For you premium listeners.
And it's not worth a lousy $7.99?
Oh, I think it is.
Oh, I think so.
I believe so.
Well, but it's okay, Frank.
So what are we doing now?
We're famous and big, and we're basically, I'm telling you.
Yeah, are we doing Super Video Battle, Audio from the Past, or what are we doing? Something else?
What are we doing? Well, I think we should do the horoscope, and I think we really should definitely get to... We haven't done this one, and we have to, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying it's going to be like a new feature on the show or something different that we haven't done
yet?
Well,
we haven't done Ever Notice, Ever Wonder.
Here we go. A new feature.
Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings.
Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings. Mentioned on that website, Mahmood.tv.
Yeah.
That guy, Mahmood. Troy from America.
We got to find out Troy from America. He's got to listen to our show.
Troy from America quoted from the magazine and the Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings, Ever Notice, Ever Wonder.
All right. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have these now?
Yeah, I do. Go figure. I'm prepared for the show. Unlike somebody else I know.
Look at all these notes. I have a lot of notes for the show.
All you're doing is taking one piece of paper and crinkling it.
It's a lot of pieces of paper.
All right, so let's go to Weekly World Perception Pilot. Well, what this is born out of was, you know, way before Jerry Seinfeld started doing his, you ever wonder or ever notice why?
Do you ever notice who are these people?
Who are these people? Way before he started doing that.
These people? Who are they? Are these people? Did he ever figure out who those people were?
I don't know. Before he started doing that, we used to be big readers of the Weekly World News, which, as you know, is a very fine publication.
Yeah.
Full of true facts. And it got us thinking about, like, you know, crazy observations that we would look, you know, how we look at the world. And we'd often ever wonder about this or ever notice this, Frank. And we'd go back and forth and have a lively debate about these things. So it ended up becoming a feature in our magazine, which it's carried over and was one of people's favorite features. We haven't got to it yet because we've ran out of time all the time. We're not running out of time today. We're getting to the feature.
But we have to get the Super Video Battle, too.
We'll get the Super Video Battle, okay?
Okay.
What are you, like a 5-year-old? I want to play Super Video Battle.
Don't
leave Super Video Value. I'm not doing any more show.
I want to play Super Video Battle.
All right. Please, will you stop with that?
Silence number two.
All right.
Number two. Wait a second.
Exactly.
Cool. What happened? How'd that happen? Okay. Continue. So you have some of these Ever Notice, Ever Wonders.
I do. And I got some really great ones, and I want to just go through a few of them. And they're meant to make you think, make you contemplate about certain things.
Yeah.
And make you wonder why people work a certain way or why things happen a certain way.
Yeah.
Okay? So, yes. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay? Ever wonder about this celebrity obsession with attending fashion shows? You ever wonder about that?
I do wonder about that.
What are we missing something?
I've never been to a fashion show myself.
What exactly? First of all, look at what these people are wearing there. No one wears these clothes. All right, and
they wear tinfoil on their face. I mean, it's ridiculous stuff.
Can you imagine?
Like a fishnet over your torso. I mean, No one ever wears that stuff in real life.
But I don't understand something. Are celebrities this bored? Do you wake up one morning if you're a celebrity and go, I have nothing to do with my life. I'll attend a fashion show.
Well, the thing is, like, you understand a girl, but the guy celebrities, male heterosexual celebrities.
They're not heterosexual. Every one of those is closet.
I'm just saying the supposedly heterosexual. Like, I don't know any other heterosexual guys who are like, hey, you want to go to fashion show? Like, no one goes to a fashion show.
Hey, yo, Joey, you want to go to a fashion show?
No one goes to fashion shows.
Let's go to a fashion show. It'll be fun. Yeah, let's see what the new
style's coming out. But once you become a celebrity, you have to go.
Oh, the Pierre Cardin's got some great shit coming out. I mean, what are you going
to do? Now, are you saying that if we become celebrities, that we will have to go to these?
Well, no.
There are metrosexuals, though. They're men that are...
That is not us.
No, I'm not a metrosexual.
That is not me either, okay? But anyway, that's one. That's everyone ever noticed. Here's another one, Frank.
Yeah.
I'm sure you experienced it. Ever notice how when you were in gym class,
yeah,
every kid's dick looked bigger than yours? Right, until a Chinese kid walked in and you felt better.
Yeah.
You were in the shower the first time. You looked around like...
I never did the shower thing. Never. I was never naked in there.
You never went naked in the shower?
Never.
Oh, I
never
did
that.
Never did that?
I was horrified by the whole process the whole time.
So you never went... How did you... Never. What did you just call? Would you say you ranking disgusting, sweaty the whole day?
I didn't participate in gym that much, as little as possible.
So you never did that?
I never took a shower or anything. No way. I was a misfit back then. I didn't fit in.
I didn't shower back then. How about this one? Ever notice that zoos have this running joke with the common crow exhibit? Why don't you do this with the common cat and the goldfish as well? There's always there's a running gag. Like you walk in.
The common crow.
Jaguar, leopard, gorilla, you know, baboon. The common crow. Is there some kind of running gag?
Because they want to have more than one talking bird in there. Because they have the parrots on the one end of the zoo, then they want to have the crows on the other end.
Like, this bird does not talk. This is not the this is not like the bird from the Munsters that came out of the clock.
Aren't those the crows that they talk? Like,
no, they don't.
Oh, minor birds?
Magpies?
Wait, crows can't?
No, Heckle and Jekyll? No.
Crows don't talk?
No, crows don't talk.
But they are very intelligent. They're highly intelligent.
Highly intelligent, yeah. But they have this running joke about like the common crow exhibit. You know, I don't I don't know why they do it with the common cat and the goldfish as well. I don't get it. Here's another one. This is on the subject of zoos.
Yeah.
Okay. Ever wonder when zoo administrators tell you that the most of the animals that they have come from rescues? Okay. As in, if someone were to like buy a polar bear at a pet shop and thought that it was too much trouble to care for, after they brought it home, and we rescued this polar bear from the suburbs because some kid bought it. Where are you rescuing these animals from? Admit it, you're snatching them from their natural habitats and you're shoving them in a zoo.
Exactly.
You know, think about that for a second, you know? Speaking of which,
rescues.
Did you read that story about that zookeeper that climbed in the cage with the jaguar? Did you read about that one?
But he wanted to kill himself or something?
No. The woman, she supposedly wasn't supposed to be it, and she just walked in with the jaguar. She was really? Like, let me smear a little head cheese on me myself, and I'll wrestle with the jaguar for fun. You know, that's what she does, and she got killed.
But that, you know, to be honest, like I have cats and it's fun to play with them. You know, you wrestle with them a little bit, you play with them, they bite your hand a little bit. I think it would be fun to fight with a jaguar, but,
even if you had smeared your body with head cheese beforehand?
No, but I'm just saying like normal people would realize that the jaguar would kill you. But it does. I have to admit that if you were somehow invulnerable, you know, like a superhero, I would like to fight with like a lion or something. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, but she was a zookeeper.
Yeah.
And don't you know better?
She had a death wish.
Apparently so. Okay. Here you go. Here's another one, Frank. Ever noticed that every time you needed a type of liquid when you were doing Mad Libs as a kid, you always chose like sperm or urine and never something normal? Like,
of course.
You never chose something normal like RC Cola or magma or something like that.
No, it was always, that or why was occasionally it all, vomit.
Liquid. Sperm!
Like, it was sperm or blood or urine. Yeah.
You know, there was never a normal liquid ever.
Never. Mad Libs.
Mad Libs. What a great thinking thing to create.
From Price Stern Sloan.
Thank you for that bit of a name trivia. All right. Here's another one. Ever wonder why they stopped making board games with Pop-O-Matic technology?
That's true.
Why do they stop that? Because, you know, it's very strenuous to roll your own dice. Because, you know, you can't, you know, some kid probably hurt himself on a die somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Or they choked on all these dice. We must encase them in plastic. Because you can't let kids roll the dice by themselves, right? Maybe it was encouraging gambling or something like that.
Yeah.
So they had to put this Pop-O-Matic technology in that was revolutionary at the time.
You put these two dice in a little dome and you would click it and it would
roll. Remember the commercial? Like the Pop-O-Matic. Every game had the Pop-O-Matic.
Hold on. We didn't find it.
It was like every movie in the 70s had sense around.
Oh, of course.
I think the louder the place shook, the better it was. But
What had that? The game Trouble?
Trouble? Had the Pop-O-Matic in it.
I'm trying to find it online here.
I wonder why they stopped making the technology pop. But let me move on, Frank, while you're looking that up.
Okay.
Hey, you ever notice how they've given up on making paper towel commercials?
Really?
You remember all the great paper towel commercials?
Madge, right?
Madge. Or no, Rosie. It was Rosie, and you're, you know, with the paper towels, you know, with the spills, and they'd wet the paper towel, and they put all these heavy objects on it, and nothing would fall through. You know, because meanwhile, they don't tell you there's like a steel mesh underneath the paper towel. But here, I'm going to place this anvil on top of this paper towel. Look, it's not going through the paper towel. Wow, those are really strong paper towels. Why have they given up on like paper towel commercials? Like they just like figured everybody needs paper towels. No need to market them anymore.
Here's a paper towel commercial from the 1960s.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Catch him.
I wish somebody would invent a ketchup bottle that squirts where you aim it.
Mrs. Porter. I've got the next best thing, a new invention from Procter & Gamble. It absorbs like magic. It's called Bounty, the new paper towel that actually attracts moisture.
It's a new invention.
See, this is Bounty before attracting, absorbing moisture. That's because it's more than just paper. It's made a unique new way
this
from
the beginning. This is the beginning.
Six ingredients.
Six ingredients.
Into a wonderful new towel.
God knows what the hell's in there.
Compare it to the
they
leading towel.
Weird, right?
See how Bounty attracts, drinks, sucks up, spills faster.
See how Bounty comes to life and kills you.
It feels different. Check
the stuff.
Go ahead, pop it.
Look at the paper.
She looks like she's almost orgasmic. She's so, orgasmic. She's so happy.
Like
it's construction paper. It's construction paper. It's construction paper.
Get new Bounty. It absorbs like magic.
Oh my God. That was a classic.
That's true, and I don't know whatever happened to it.
But they don't tell you about the six ingredients anymore.
No.
Around the 70s, they had to go, you better not tell them about those six ingredients that make up the chemicals in Bounty.
Yeah.
It may not be good if you get that on your skin. Ever wonder why all these foreign kids are winning our fucking spelling bees? What's with that?
I know, yeah. Hold on a second.
Is that a spelling bee sound?
Yes. Spell the word Bounty. B-O-N-T-A. Oh, okay. All right. I got you.
There you go. Ever wonder about the insane practice of unplugging all the electric appliances before going away on vacation as if somehow they turn themselves on, immolate themselves, and burn the house down? Get up there. What makes it any difference when you leave? Remember that?
You
unplug everything in the house because when you leave the house for an extended period of time, a fire could ignite, and you won't be there
exactly.
to put it out, right?
Yeah.
What makes any difference when you're in the house?
But in Fight Club, that happened.
What?
Fight Club.
Oh, don't go with the stupid references now, okay? Here's another one. Ever notice when you're boarding an airplane that the ticker taker says, have a nice flight, as if you have any control of it at all whatsoever? You have no control over this. Once you're in the plane, you're at the mercy of the pilot, right?
Exactly.
Have a nice flight. Well, yeah, I'm flying the plane.
Well, if you have some duct tape, you can fix the plane, like on the Mahmood.
Here's another one, Frank. Ever notice how they pull a fast one on us when they change it from tamper-resistant to tamper-evident on the products with those plastic seals? Remember? They figured out the plastic wasn't really resistant at all, was it?
No.
But now it's tamper-evident. Big difference from resistant and evident.
Yeah, so you're supposed to figure out yourself if there's some tampering.
It just shows you that tampering has happened. It's evident that tampering's occurred.
Did you ever have one of those drinks where it says, the top is supposed to pop when you open it?
Yeah.
And it's like, if it does not pop, don't drink it. But if you're really thirsty, I've had these drinks where it doesn't pop, but I'm like, fuck it, I don't know. You know, it's probably good, so you just drink it anyway.
It's true. Here's a couple more for you, Frank. Ever notice that no matter how they talk, you can't help feeling that people from the South are dumber than the average person? Isn't that true? Going back to no matter what they say, no matter how they sound, not kidding, be the most educated person in the world, they sound stupid. You know,
it's true because we're just a bunch of Yankees up here. You know,
you're from up north, you Yankees, yeah.
But I'm sure they're very lovely, intelligent people.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Everybody, they all very.
Listen, you have to respect the red states too.
No, I don't.
So why not?
No, I don't.
They're very, very good people.
Yeah, there's a forget it. Isn't Britney Spears from the South?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, right. She's the one driving around with her kid in the front in her lap, right?
Yes.
You know, and saying, oh, you know, we're country. That she's the one that said, oh, we're country.
Yes.
We always said, we're country. You know, we drive around and, you know, we our kids, they smack their heads in the windshield. It's a hoot. That's why we want to have a hoot nanny.
Look, we have listeners in the South. We should respect them. We don't want to lose the whole South.
Frank, we're equally opportunity offenders.
We like the South.
We love the South. Sure we do. Okay.
Steve DuPont's from the South.
Who?
Steve DuPont.
Yeah. Do you want to explain to the people who are listening who the hell Steve DuPont is?
He was on Good Day Alabama. He does a podcast called The Obtuse Angle.
No one cares.
And he was on Good Day Alabama. He's from the South. He's an incredibly intelligent person. I rest my case.
Thank you. Okay. Here's another one, Frank.
Yes.
Ever wonder about the whole LoJack scam? The car is already freaking stolen.
Is that's the thing you put on your steering wheel?
No, the LoJack is the thing they hide in the car someplace. So if your car is stolen, they can track it down through this invisible, through this hidden signal.
It's like a tracker.
It's a tracker.
Yeah.
But the car is stolen already. Does anybody get it? Am I the only person that gets this? The car is already stolen. You're supposed to prevent the theft. It's like, oh, sure, take my car. We'll locate it sometime later after they've stripped it clean and it's been totally demolished. The only person that helps is the insurance companies. It doesn't help you. Your car is already gone.
No, but the police can have the little radars in their car. They can track it.
Yeah, right away. They get right on that, too. Car is stolen. Yeah, we'll get right on that.
No, doesn't it send out a signal when it gets stolen?
Yeah, it does. Once it's activated. No, you know, the car doesn't know itself it's stolen, Frank.
Why not?
It's got to be activated. You have to call and say, oh, my car has been stolen. Activate the LoJack.
No.
It doesn't. How does a car know it was stolen?
I don't know. You have to put the right code in? I don't know.
No, there's no code. Okay? There's no retinal scans.
What if someone hotwires it?
I don't know. I don't think it's possible.
There's got to be more to it than you're saying.
Like, the only hotwire car is in the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay?
You can't hotwire them anymore?
No. I don't think you can do that.
No.
Those are really old cars. Okay? A couple more, Frank. Ever notice the insane practice of putting those wooden storks on your front lawn after you've had a baby? Is this to say, hey, boogeyman, come snatch my kid. I dare you. I mean, it's like you're daring the boogeyman to come take your kid.
Well, how do you think the boogeyman knows where the new kids are?
Could you put those? Stop putting those stupid storks in the front lawn. Avoid the boogeyman.
Well, the stork and the boogeyman are in cahoots.
Cahoots. Okay, here's another one, Frank. Ever wonder when fish shit, if they mind having it hang from their ass until another fish happens to come along and eat it?
That's nasty.
You ever see that? The fish swimming around the tank?
Yeah.
There's always a long trail of crap hanging out their ass.
Dumbasses, those fish.
What the hell?
Dumbasses.
I mean, that's not a dumbass.
Dumb.
Imagine this is your life. You're swimming around a tank, all right, full of other fish.
Yeah.
And you shit, and you got to swim around with the shit hanging out your ass until someone comes along and bites it off your ass.
Exactly.
Nice life. Nice
great.
Life. Nice life. All right. Ever notice how you want to punch people who write their number eights like snowmen? You ever see those people that write those eights? They can't make
so
a
wait,
regular
let me, eight. Let me see how I write. Like if I write like 18, 12. Is
yeah.
That's like the infinity sign.
Infinity sign. Not the snowmen. You're doing with the
oh, like two circles.
Two circles.
It's like a lot more work.
You want to punch people that make their eights like snowmen.
Especially if you do the three segments. That looks really stupid. 18... 18. That looks like dumb. With three circles instead of two?
Well, you wouldn't do that, Frank. Then it wouldn't be eight. That wouldn't be an eight.
It's a, well, it has, you know, the little snowman eyes and...
Okay. here's another one, Frank. Ever wonder why we say going on like a broken record when it doesn't make any sense? That really doesn't make any sense, because if it was a broken record, it wouldn't work, would it? What is a record anyway, Frank?
Trying to think of
ever here's the expression, the old expression.
Yeah.
When they say, what, you're going on like a broken record, like
yeah.
You keep running on like a broken record.
Yeah.
But what's it? If it's a broken record, it's not going to work.
Well, if it's smashed, you could try to like piece it together like a jigsaw puzzle and put it back on the turntable and play it, and it would just sound really bad.
Most people don't know what a turntable is. That's the sad thing. We wrote
like
this.
DJs. Remember, the DJs still use it. Just think of all the young kids. They know the DJs.
Yeah, they know the DJs.
Yeah.
Ever wonder why stewardesses direct you as you enter the plane? Like, where else would you go? There's only one way to go. Excuse me, I have to enter the cockpit. Where are you going to go? There's only one way to go. Except this way, they're directing you to the one way you can go. I don't get that.
Yeah.
All right. Ever wonder why every shopping cart return guy either some sort of mentally deranged homeless person or retarded?
That's true.
It's like the job of the homeless. They have to hire this poor hapless guy to return the shopping carts, and they're in the parking lot. Every guy like that.
Then they push him back into place with this giant long train of shopping carts. And
they
you have
this superhuman strength.
Yeah. They're literally pushing like 20 shopping carts.
I can't do this.
And if you just got in your car and you're trying to back out of the parking space, and these guys, it takes them forever to push this damn thing. You
always,
ever get stuck like
it's
that?
It's always some guy with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And he's got this superhuman retard strength. Yeah. He's like,
I think that's a great job. I mean,
he's pushing all the carts.
For people that are mentally inhibited, that's fine. Is that the politically correct, mentally inhibited, mentally deranged? What's the? I don't even know the politically correct term anymore. What's it for retard?
Don't say it.
What
no
is
more
it?
There's nothing to say politically correct. Hey, a couple more.
Mentally challenged.
Mentally
that's
challenged.
It.
Yes. There it is. Ever notice how there's always a hot chick in your high school class named Kelly?
Of course. Yeah.
That goes without
that's
saying.
Absolutely.
There's always a Kelly, the hot one, right?
Yeah.
Ever wonder about this obsession old people have with buying brown eggs?
Yeah.
Why is that? Is it because their vision's going and they can't tell the color?
This is a beautiful white egg. If you look at that, it's so nice and white.
But every old person
it's
buys
true.
Brown eggs. My grandmother had a whole refrigerator full of them. I'm like, Matt, why do you have brown eggs? You know, and I think there's like this whole thing, the myth was like brown eggs are healthier for you or something like that.
Oh, the brown eggs increase your lifespan.
But if you think about it, why are they old? They survived to that old age
because of the brown eggs.
Yes,
that's why I always eat brown eggs now. I'm eating brown eggs in my house. I turned 40.
Really?
All we got is brown eggs in the house.
Really?
Okay. Ever wonder about how your mother would try to make you feel bad when you didn't finish your food by telling you that there were children starving in India?
Yeah.
Wouldn't the food be soiled by the time it got there? You know, you can't ship the stuff there fast enough. It's going to spoil, isn't it? I'm like, here, if I don't finish it here, take my food, send it to India. By the time it gets there, it's going to be like rotten.
And these days, the kids are smart. They actually just call like Dell Tech Support and they say, hey, are you people starving?
No, my name is Jason. And can I help you on Dell? No, we're doing fine. We have plenty of food.
They can actually call India. So the jig is up on that one.
The jig.
The jig is up on that whole scam.
That is a little bit of our Ever Notice, Ever Wonder, Weekly World Perception and Ponderings. We'll be doing more of those. I have many more to come.
Yes.
Since we're getting near the end of the show, and we want to get a lot of different things in before we wrap it up tonight. That was at 2:25 in the morning, Frank.
We still got a ways to go.
All right, well, get on.
I think next we're going to do our interview.
Oh, we have an interview now.
Yes. We're going to do our interview with...
At 2:30 in the morning, this guy's going to do the interview?
Yes, yes.
What a guy, man.
Well, we don't know what time zone he's in. No, he's in the same time zone as us.
That's very nice of him. He's a very good sport to do that.
Pre-recorded it.
What?
We pre-recorded it. We pre-recorded it. Don't want to let everyone know. Because we know that by the time we got to this point in the show, the guy would be asleep, so... We're going to be talking to Mr. John C. Havens. John C. Havens, yes. We're going to go to that right now.
Yep.
All right. Get ready to hear our interview with Mr. John C. Havens.
About.com.
Very famous guy. And
he's a freaking genius on top of it.
He is.
Super genius.
He's very smart.
Smart enough to get an interview with us as well, right?
Yeah, we interviewed him, and then he interviewed us.
Right.
And we're going to be on his podcast.
We are.
And then he wrote about us on about.com.
Right. There's a blog out there about us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that on the other side. We're going to play you now this interview. And we'll be back. No, because I already have the music queued up from the other one.
Oh, my God. I got it. Good.
Here we go. All right. We are back. We are back, and we are doing an interview now with John C. Havens. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
So, where's this guy from, Frank?
John C. Havens, you wear many hats, actually. John C. Havens is an actor. He's also the guy on About.com that writes about podcasting.
Okay.
And he's also the coordinator of the PodCamp NYC.
Now, are people going to care about this when they actually hear our show?
Yes.
Okay. So before we go any further, I have to check this guy out. So I have a few questions, and you can go into what you have to ask him. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So, John, I need to know this. Are you currently or have you ever been a member of the Illuminati or any of its affiliate front operations such as Dairy Queen, Spencer Gifts, or Jack in the Box?
To the best of my knowledge, no. Okay. Although Dairy Queen, I've eaten there often.
Oh, well, all right. Are you currently working for... Or are you a member of any organization that even remotely supports George W. Bush or any of his henchmen?
No. In fact, I go the polar opposite.
Very good. Very good. And have you taken any trips recently to Atlantis, the Mars Colony, or anywhere within 100 miles of Kennebunkport, Maine?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. And can you get me a signed guitar from your brother, Richie?
Yes, it'll be from Woodstock, and I can also get you a couple of his spare teeth.
Oh, he's okay, Frank. Let him go.
Okay.
You pass the test. You may continue.
Yes.
First of all, how do you feel about zombies, John? Are you a zombie enthusiast?
Yes, especially when I'm sleep deprived because I have two young kids, so I'm sort of one of them myself.
I have two young kids as well.
So, John, what you have to realize is that we just set up the show a few weeks ago, and the only sound effects we have are zombie sound effects at this point. We actually purchased the zombie sound effects and set them up, and we have a lot of other ones, but they're not ready to go yet. So. All we can play is the zombie stuff for now.
So we have to work zombies into everything we do. All right.
So now, John, I actually met you a couple times in New York City in the meetup groups, right? And there's this thing called meetup.com, and you can hook up with different people and different topics, and you actually meet in physical places. And the podcast meetup group used to meet in the back of this diner on 9th Avenue in New York City, and I met you there. And I found out a lot of interesting things about you. So why don't you talk about yourself a little bit? I know you write for About.com. You're an actor. You're doing this podcast. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. My main business now is actually I have a podcast, a new media consultation firm called Podcast Vision and Voice. And in the shameless plug arena, it's at www.pvandv.com. Stands for Podcast Vision and Voice. And I actually got the About.com job because I sent sort of like a friendly press release to colleagues saying, hey, I'm starting my own firm. So I love writing for About.com, and it's also great for my clients because then I get to, you know, keep up with the latest, you know, whatever that's going on. Like, and for instance, being on the show is great because I can tell people, look, you know, this is a new model now for monetization. It's not just...
That's right. The Anything But Monday show is a premium podcast. And as you know, you're an expert in podcasting. There really are not that many other shows going down this road, right?
You know, I'll be honest, and hopefully I'm not, you know, exposing ignorance that I shouldn't have because I'm supposed to be this expert, but I don't know of any, you know, except for Ricky Gervais, and he stopped doing it, I think, about a year ago in terms of, you know, when someone has that level of fame on whatever level, and he was charging, I think, $2 a download on iTunes. Since then, it's sort of been a given that, you know, you don't charge. The only other I can think of, I did a white paper, which is up on my site, and I interviewed a lot of teachers about corporate podcasting and training. Mm-hmm. And there are iTunes has a very cool thing. I think it's called iUniversity, where they do have a model where you can have certain content that's free and then certain content that's paid for. And if you're a matriculated student, you get the paid stuff. So their model I've heard of.
Yeah.
But no, you guys are, to the best of my knowledge, the first sort of, you know, independent podcasters, you know, doing a show in this way, and I think it's great.
And did you let them know that it's the only podcast worth paying for as well? As well too?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I like, you know, John, I actually, he said he's an actor, and actually, John, I read your bio, and it's really intriguing. I've noticed your bio that you've done a lot of acting, particularly on TV, like shows like Law & Order. You did Hope and Faith. You did Third Watch. And my question to you is, have you done any good TV? like What's Happening or Alice, F Troop, Ally McBeal, anything like that?
What is he, a time traveler? He's going to step back in time to go on F Troop?
I don't know who the guy is. No, who knows?
It'll be like one of those episodes of like the Twilight Zone or the new Twilight Zone where you, at the end of the show, the guy's watching F Troop and it's like, he really is a time traveler. Look, there he is on F Troop.
He's Agarn.
He's the same age.
Yes.
Okay.
We have quotes from F Troop in the beginning of our in our intro, so that's why we're sort of into the whole F Troop thing.
F Troop.
Yes.
I used to have a total. Can I say this?
Yes.
I'm from Boston. What I forget, is this like PG-13 or what is your listening?
This is rated R.
Here?
You can say bad words if you'd like.
Do anything.
You can. Oh, I can.
You can
okay.
even disrobe if you'd like. Doesn't matter to us.
Okay, so the F word is okay on your show.
F-word is fine.
I'm from Boston, so it's very hard sometimes to not use the F word.
You can say it.
Anyway, in terms of the F troop, you know that fucking blonde woman? Oh my God, she gave me such a fucking stinger.
Yeah.
That's how we would say it.
Such a stinger. She gave me such a stinger.
Fucking stinger. Oh my God, I'm so fucking hot. Used to watch that chick on fucking F troop. Oh my fucking God, she's so hot. Even black and white, she's so fucking hot.
That's a good impersonation.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, he's an actor. Come on. He has great skills.
He's good.
Great acting skills.
Yeah, I'm from Boston. From Boston.
Frank, did you also notice on his website it says right here he claims to be hung like a racehorse?
Really?
Did you see that?
I did see that.
Would you like to elaborate this a little for our listeners, keeping in mind that it's a family show, John?
Yeah, sure. No, it's actually an interactive website.
Oh.
So it's a 3D. I can send you glasses.
Excellent.
So I don't just claim. I don't just claim, my friend.
He backs it up, Frank. I like this man. Go ahead.
I do. I back it up. Come to New York April 6th or 7th and go ahead. Feel free to test me.
Excellent.
I'll be at the booth, the Anything But Monday booth. In fact, I am your booth babes, as we talked about.
Yeah.
Before coming out,
we'll have booth babe.
Well, yeah. The thing is, this PodCamp event. It's sort of. Can you describe a little bit about PodCamp, because it's sort of a different type of event than a normal convention or an expo or something.
Sure. Well, I found out wearing my About.com hat. I found out that there was this thing called an unconference that was happening in Boston last September, and a number of people, particularly Chris Brogan, who now works for Network 2 with Jeff Pulver, Christopher Penn of the Financial Aid podcast, a guy named Brian Pearson, who's a new media consultant, great guy, and a lot of other wonderful people in Boston were putting this thing together. And I was really attracted to it because the basic sort of tenets of it were that there were no keynote speakers. If you wanted to speak, you signed up on a wiki to lead a session. Mm. And if you wanted to come, you signed up on the wiki to participate.
Interesting.
And you're called a participant instead of an attendee, the idea being that you, as the person coming, make the content and the event itself. And I just thought it was a fantastic idea. And then I went to Boston last September and found it just transformative because, you know, you would have people who, you know, lovingly I call newbies, meaning people who have just picked up a mic and have a passion to podcast or, you know, write a blog or whatever, sitting next to or talking to someone like a Jeff Pulver who came to PodCamp Boston, or someone like Mitch Joel, from Twist Image, who I admire greatly, you know, who's been like on Dr. Phil and stuff, and Stacey Chapman. So these new media luminaries chatting with utter newbies, and because the PodCamp model is also that it's free, there's no barrier to entry. So it's not negative to other conference models, you know, like Always On just had an amazing conference here in New York a couple weeks ago. But those tend to cost anywhere from $500 to $2,000. And if you can't afford it, you may miss out on the great content. So
anyone that wants to, if they're in New York City at that what are the dates? April 6th and 7th?
April 6th and 7th, yeah.
So if they're in New York City, can they come, or do they have to sign up beforehand? Like, how would someone get involved in this if they want to come to the PodCamp?
Well, thank you for asking. If you go to podcampnyc.org, there's a button in the top navigation menu that says register. So we created that because we found that the wiki, for some people, they don't get it. And we've really tried to, with PodCamp NYC, the vision that we've had, when I say me, there's about 10 other organizers. We wanted to try to reach out to, quote, traditional media folks. And we're very excited, like, there's someone coming to speak who's the head of digital media from NPR. There's a woman from Business Week coming, a couple of folks from WNYC. So the point being, we feel that there's learning to be had from all, you know, anybody who can communicate effectively to an audience, A, and then B, if they're making money at it, that's also a good thing to learn.
Yeah, and the thing is, Mike and I are going to be having a booth there. We're going to be setting up. We are sponsors of the event,
I will be naked the entire time.
Yes, and we're going to have giveaways. We're going to have an exciting presence there. So anyone that listens to this show, if you want to come down, go to Podcast NYC, podcampnyc.org, and sign up. And I think it's going to be a great event. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
All right, John. One other question here too. Okay, I got to know this because this has been bugging me. Is there any truth to the rumor that you were passed over to play the role of Idi Amin in the Oscar-winning film *The King of Scotland* simply because you were a white man?
The last King of Scotland.
That one.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
The King of Scotland would be a different movie.
Yeah.
No, it is actually true. I was actually kind of pissed because I think Forrest is a great actor. I'm glad he got the Oscar.
That's like reverse racism. I can't say, you know, did you know our program director is actually a minority? You know that he's a black man as well.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I'm actually darker than he is, so he's really been hanging out with me just to kind of slide by. So he'll be on later on. I'm going to talk about that with him again, but because, you know, he always likes to kind of just ride along on my coattails, and, you know, we have a lot of fun stories about that. So we'll have him on later to talk about that.
Now, John, I see a picture of you online here, and over your shoulder are Dennis Leary and Rene Russo.
Oh, it's a couple.
Yeah.
So how was that? Now you're in this movie, The Thomas Crown Affair.
Yep.
Now I don't think did you see that, Mike?
I saw The Thomas Crown Affair actually. There was actually the big thing was that Rene Russo got like $500,000 to show her tits off in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Were
you there for that scene, John?
Well, no, I was pissed. They only gave me $20,000 to show off mine, and I was totally pissed.
Throw me a freaking bone here. I'm the boss.
So how do you get to be in a movie like this? This was a pretty big movie. How do you get to be in a movie like that?
Well, I came to New York in 1992 to pursue acting, and for the first 3 or 4 years, I never waited tables because I dropped too much stuff, so I was a temp. And then got an agent and did a Broadway show in 97, and it was that for about 3 or 4 years, you know, I made a living being an actor. It was... You know, I still am in Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA and Equity and all that. So, you know, you have to have an agent to even get into a room where you could, you know, audition for the casting director who will then get you in front of the people who can cast you in Thomas Crown Affair. So it's very competitive.
Okay, can you get us on a movie or TV show?
Frank and I,
sure.
Why can't you get me and Frank on a TV? We make excellent walk-on parts for a show.
Yeah.
Some kind of movie or, you know, whenever you need some kind of rejects or some kind of, I don't know, serial killers or what, Frank?
If you're naked at PodCamp NYC, you guys are going to get cast
I'll do whatever it takes.
That's all I'm going to say.
I'll do whatever it takes.
There really is nothing like a shorn scrotum. It's breathtaking.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So, good. So, what else do you want to ask John before we let him go? Because I know he's a busy man, and he's got a major event to plan. And what did you want to ask him? I think you have a lot of notes there in front of you, Frank.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I know that we're at a really interesting point in the world of podcasting now, and you know, you're sort of in the middle of the whole thing, and so I just want to ask you, Where am I going with this?
I told what I wanted to know before John went was, like, please detail your plans and how you will be now promoting the Anything with Monday show,
yes,
the first podcast
exactly.
worth paying for, on your wonderful little website, keeping in mind that we can have you killed or teleported into the heart of North Korea with a U.S. spy sign taped to your back.
Yes.
We do have that kind of technology, so I just wanted to know, you know, this is a Jersey podcast, so, you know, that's how things work in Jersey. If we don't like you, we have you killed. So,
yeah. Well, you're from New Jersey, right, John?
Right, John, you're from Jersey.
Yeah.
So you said you grew up in Boston, now you live in New Jersey. How do you like New Jersey?
I love it. I live in Maplewood, which is kind of this wonderful little, like, Norman Rockwell-y, you know, the village, they call it the village. It's got this great pub and restaurants, so it's 25 minutes from New York, so it's kind of like the best of everything, so I love it.
Yeah.
But I do tip my garbage men very, very well. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, we used to always be obsessed with Maplewood because were you on this train when I used to take this train? I used to be obsessed with this. Okay, I used to take the train, down to Somerville, New Jersey, right, which is a little bit farther down from where you are. And the guy on the train would always like yell out the names of each town, and the guy would go Maplewood. Like every time we went past there, Maplewood. I don't know why I became obsessed with Maplewood that way.
Yeah, well, Maplewood is not as great as John's making it sound, actually. You know, it's kind of nestled between some really nasty towns as well,
That's the thing about New Jersey.
It's like a nice area,
and then you drive for 5 minutes, and you're in a not such a nice area.
It's like an oasis in a big, like, cesspool. That's where really Maplewood really is. So, I mean, I'm glad you live there, John, which is good. So we definitely understand.
But I'm a stone's throw from Irvington and Newark, so having lived
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm in Nutley, so I'm right on the other side of that.
I actually got out of Irvington just in time. At one time, all my family lived in Irvington.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, we all lived in Irvington, and I used to walk 5 blocks to kindergarten. I wouldn't walk those same five blocks at my age right now in broad daylight. You know, I don't know how I made it back and forth alive. But I used to do that alone. That's like, think about those days. When I was in second grade, there was a big row in class.
Yeah.
Because I'll never forget second grade because there was a black girl in the class. In the second grade class, everybody was flipping out because there was
in Irvington,
there was a black girl, God forbid, in the class.
Wow.
So as soon as that happened, everybody head for the hills. Everybody just left the city. You know, now you can't find a white person in the class. Forget that.
Yeah.
Think about that. So, but anyway, yeah, those were the days of, you know, when it was safe and it was actually a nice neighborhood. And now we're glad we're out of there. But we all made it out alive, which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing.
So, John, we really appreciate you taking the time with us and taking the busing that we give you. And, you know, we got a show to do. So, but anyway, we'll hope to see you on the pod camp. I guess we will see you on the pod camp.
We will definitely see you with the pod camp.
We'll be ones with the booth babes. We'll be there.
And, yes, we're going to get booth babes.
And the two of us, I will be the one that's naked, not Frank, because you do not want Frank naked at your show.
No, you don't. All right. Thanks a lot, John.
All right, guys. Hey, best of luck to you, and I will be blogging about you on
about.com.
Awesome, and also, yeah, no, I'm really excited to see what happens with you guys, because I think it's really smart, and best of luck.
Thanks, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
You know how it feels.
We take special care of him.
Just take a walk in my shoes before you sing my blues. Hey.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Yes, thank you, John.
Oh.
We're back. Let me put some of this energy lip balm on.
I actually had a great boost of energy tonight, man, because this balm is amazing.
You put this lip balm on, and it caffeine gets absorbed through your lips.
What if I put some of this on my 3-foot cock? Do you think it would help?
It would. It would help a lot.
That doesn't need any energy.
No. So
remember,
anyway,
you can actually see that picture, right?
Yeah.
Of the 3-foot, and also the famous comic strip panel that basically started 9/11. Correct?
Completely, utterly incorrect. I mean, where's my thing?
Go ahead.
So that was our interview with John Havens, and of course, after that, we did an interview with him. No, he did an interview with us. And we're going to be on the About.com podcast.
And I have to make sure we take care of our sponsors, the zombies. Thank you for having us today. I appreciate it.
Yes, zombies.
If we didn't work that in, it would have been good. Shut those people up. Okay. Good sound effect. All right. So what we got now? We have.
Well, no, I wanted to talk about something, but my computer just crashed here for a second.
Okay. Talk about Evac.com. And okay. Then we'll go back to our show.
Well, I just wanted to say that I looked up in the Alexa rankings, right?
The Alexa rankings.
Yeah.
Which is what, for people who like idiots like me?
It tells you how popular websites are.
Right.
Right. So this is for the entire internet, where there's like 100 million websites, right?
Right.
So about.com, which is where we're on right now. Are there interviews going to be on there? And also a blog post about us.
Right.
I want to thank John for that.
On the front page.
That is number 96 out of the entire internet, about.com.
Whoa! And we're like 100, right?
Well, it's, you know, but it's, that's, about.com is about everything. But in...
We're like about 100, right?
Well, I do have the traffic ranking. We do have an Alexa rank. abmshow.com, our website.
Yeah, it is.
So about.com is a popular website. It's number 96.
And we're about, all right, we're about 150, I'd say, about it. Right? 200?
A little bit lower.
300?
Now, this isn't. First of all, this is not too bad. There's 100 million websites out there.
Okay, 100 million websites, and we are ranked
number 4,741,725.
Oh my God,
we have a ways to go. Okay, we need. I know we can climb up into the 1,000s if because some podcast sites are in those levels. We are at number 4.7 million out of the whole internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. There's still 95 million websites below us.
I feel better now. Thanks.
Yes. But, yeah.
Okay.
So there you guys want to mention that about.com. So I'm very happy. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of listeners. And if anyone is listening who heard about us from the about.com, welcome to the show.
And please post on the forum. Let us know.
We do care about all of you listeners. Anyone listening, we want to hear what you have to say, positive, negative. Go to the Anything But Monday Show forums and post your opinions.
Hey, you know, people can use Skype. Can we give our number out so people can actually use
Yes,
them
we'd
number?
Like you to use Skype.
Or MyChingo, which is a great thing. They can use that too.
They can use the MyChingo. We're testing that out on the blog page. Our number is, if you want to use a regular phone, it's
973-685-6400.
Or just go into your Skype and just call ABM Show, all one word, and leave a message. And we would love to get some messages from people. We have not got any messages yet, except for me.
And if you're a female, you can leave a very, very dirty message on the phone or do some kind of very provocative thing. We'll play it on the air. How about that?
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Next.
Now it's time for Super Video Battles. Let's get this going.
Super Video Battles. Let's get Super Video Battles lined up.
And what is the game for today?
The featured game of today is going to be...
Yes.
Berserk.
Berserk, yes.
I'm wondering why it's going to... Is it going to boot up?
Yeah, it's got to boot up.
Where do I got to click it on?
Berserk is a game released in 1980 from Stern Electronics. And on our Super Video Battle today, Mike and I will be playing against each other.
And Frank is a very unfair advantage because Frank lives playing.
I play like
millions of hours, he was telling me, playing these games.
Yes. So if you would like to start, this is a game.
What do I got to hit?
Hit the number five.
Five.
And then one.
Quarter in.
One to start.
And then one to start.
And then we're going to get going.
What is it? What is it to fire?
Control.
Control.
So I will. We'll talk about this game as we're playing it. Huh?
Why don't you play left-handed or something?
Well, basically, this is a great game. It's a really early game. You are walking around in these rooms with all these robots, right? And it's like this never-ending battle with all these robots. Intruder alert, intruder alert. And all the robots are trying to kick your ass by shooting you.
And the happy fun ball comes and kills you.
And there's a smiley face named Evil Otto, and he'll come to get you. I'm already on the third screen. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Frank.
We got to get some joysticks, you know, so it'll be more even.
I need joysticks, man. This is not fair.
This game is a great game, Berserk. Like as a kid, you played this game.
Can you shoot this thing?
No. Well, yeah, you can. But you can slow him down, but you can't stop him.
Now you tell me.
It's like in the 80s, right? You play these games. It's sort of like, you know, sort of like predicting the future. You know, we're talking about the police state. You're just wandering around corridors and buildings with robots killing you, and there's no way to win. You keep going, and eventually you just get killed.
Great. I put my initials in this KKK. That was
really
great.
Great. After that Oprah comment, that makes sense.
Yeah, great. What are you supposed to do to hit the...
What's your final score?
580.
580. All right. Oh, I just got killed. I got 1240.
Great. So I'm 0-2 on this battle, this stuff.
What was your score?
580.
I doubled your score again. There was our super video battle.
How are you supposed to get away from these things?
No, you got to shoot him.
You can't get away from the Happy Fun Ball, though, thing.
You can slow him down, but you can't stop him. Evil Otto.
Evil Otto, great. It's a, Evil Otto's a happy face. That's really creative. This tells you how the day, what these graphics consisted of back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. All right. Anyway, the game is over. How do you get out of this thing? Anyway, escape.
And a little bit of trivia. Evil Otto was named for Dave Otto, who worked for Dave Nutting's Arcade Engineering Group as R&D director at the time. Alan McNeil did.
Who cares?
So there you go.
I think I have a zombie on him. All right? I'm so freaking sick.
Hit the bar. Thank you. So that was Super Video Battle. We're still working on these features. We'll get that going. But yes. I won again. I win.
Great, Frank. Yeah, that's about all you win. Okay.
And Mike loses. Oh, sorry, Mike. You lost twice in a row.
Shit.
I'm sorry.
All right. It's time.
Oh, wait. Hold on. It's time for the...
get our feature set up, Frank. And
yeah.
Everybody's favorite little feature. I hope it's right.
Oh, yes.
That music can only mean one thing, that music.
It's time for Here's Your... Wait, hold on. I got to use the right voice. It's time on the Anything But Monday show. Here's your horoscope.
Aquarius. Pain is the best persuader when dealing with your grandparents this month. Leave that rancid pile of knockwurst right where you found it. Now's a good time to get some blow-up insurance. The Death Star pasta idea sucks.
Pisces. Travel to an inane tropical garden via transit gorilla. Don't charge admission to the unearthing of that ancient Indian civilization under your garage. Pummel a passing Peruvian peddler. Mind-wise, you're fucked.
Willie the Worm, for those born on February 29th. A holocaust will claim everyone you know named Steve. When in doubt, sacrifice a ram on the hood of a good humor truck. That grotesque spongy expulsion next to your commode might be related to you. No, gravity will defy you.
Aries, big whoop-de-doo on that promotion of yours. That piece of the true cross you just found should clear up your acne quite nicely. There are better ways than a blowtorch to remove your armpit hair. Caterpillar mustache and sideburns are in this month.
Taurus, a strange alien has just impregnated your sister, and you weren't there to watch. Swallow some splinters and claim that your throat's asleep. Throw your glass of menagerie to the jackals. Is that phlegm in your urine supposed to be there?
Gemini, remember that the men in your life have certain needs, but a belt in the scrotum should take care of it. Don't light a match around that stale food air. Love thy neighbor unless he's a friggin' queer. Contemplate Bach gargling.
Cancer, don't be surprised if the free monkey pelican... Excuse me, don't be surprised if the free money pelican comes knocking on your door. A breast test will reveal the whereabouts of your lost car keys. Go ahead and strangle that cabbie, but just remember that the meter is running, and so is everyone watching you. An aorta or a spleen, it's your choice.
Leo, a sentient potato peeler will probe your girlfriend's anus. Your basement is loaded with time warp bric-a-brac that isn't worth squat. Slide a cello beneath a passing bus for luck. Give the walrus a break, will ya?
Virgo, a coat hanger is not your best choice to drive off that pesky peridon. Visit the Flaming Cherries Jubilee exhibit nearest you. Label your bunions and corns. Don't worry, that menacing, drooling demon in the corner of your bedroom is nothing but a pathetic ruse.
Libra, Farina won't work in your porridge-o-matic, but moss will. Use onomatopoeia to exercise the hapless dwarf floundering on your sofa. Stampede yourself. Either you do or you don't, but you didn't.
Scorpio, the moon in the seventh house will warp all of your door jams. Heavens to Betsy and hells to Marjorie. Avoid out of par weight, if at all possible. The time is right to trounce a tarpon.
Sagittarius, strafe a nudist camp with a hang glider and a staple gun. Never ever sever the clever lever. A comet will dent your forehead and a straw will break your back. Hog the frozen food department of your supermarket.
And Capricorn, a partial alignment with Jupiter signifies when it's time to orgasm off your roof. After you're done wiping your ass with the Declaration of Independence, tell it back where it belongs. Collect dust on your upper lip. Between a rock and a hard place, you will find happiness, or at least a nest of sow bugs.
And that is your horoscope for today, March 5th, 2007. Nice.
Good ones in that one, huh?
That was a good one, yes.
There's a really good ones in there. Which one, what was your favorite there, Frank?
I'm trying to see which one was the best.
A couple you really
Yeah. I like to use onomatopoeia to exercise a hapless dwarf floundering on your sofa. That's a good one.
Just that picture of you going, wow.
The free money pelican. That was a good one.
Free money pelican?
Yeah. Wow.
After some classic ones.
Very good horoscope for today. Look at that. That will help you. Now, I'm Libra, so I have to worry about the porridge-o-matic.
The porridge-o-matic.
Yeah. Eating moss in my porridge-o-matic.
Right. All right, we can cut off that music now, can we? We can get rid of that, couldn't we?
Yes,
all right, so we're coming down the home stretch of our show. We're almost wrapped up our another three-hour jam-packed jamboree of...
We still have about 20 minutes left.
All right. Well, let's get to the news, then.
And then we have audio from the past, too, if we need to...
We can throw some audio in the past. The audio in the past is really of Frank and I from way back when.
You want to throw it in there?
Sure, throw it in there. We want to do a funny... It's actually pretty crazed. We were probably insane that day. I think
Now, the thing is, we have a lot of audio from the past. And...
At least Frank had the foresight, or hindsight, whatever you want to call it, to actually record everything we did. Back on the radio. I don't know what you made you think to do that.
We recorded it. Most of our stuff is there, and most of it has never been heard because it's sitting on cassette tapes in my closet right now.
Including the first time we said it too.
Yeah,
I was listening.
It's sitting on the cassette tapes in my closet at home. Hundreds of hours. Well, I don't know if it's hundreds, but many hours of the old shows. And this is just one piece, a quick little bit, 2 minutes and 45 seconds long.
Remember, back in the day, it was total improv.
Yes.
And what we had is people told us to give us different scenarios.
Yeah, people would just call up and give us characters, and we would become these characters.
And we had to make it up on the spot, like totally randomly on the spot.
Here is just one example. We have a lot of audio from the past, but this is a good one. The Santa Claus versus Jack the Ripper bit, a classic here on the Anything But Monday show.
Hear me be insane.
And who we have with us, but none other than Santa Claus. We had a call. We had two calls, actually. We had a call for Santa Claus and a call for Jack the Ripper. So Jack the Ripper and Santa Claus show now, right now on WMNJ.
Hello, all you boys and girls out there. I am Santa Claus.
Stop pointing, girls. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to cut your throats out.
And this is my friend, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, Jack the Ripper. That's right. You got it.
Ho, ho. Jack, have you been a good boy?
Shut up, I'm gonna kill your wife, and then I'm gonna slit your radius.
What a sense of humor, Jack. What would you like for Christmas this year?
I want a gun so I can blow your head off. I'm sick of using knives.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, lots of creature was stirring.
Not even a mask, I slit all their throats, and they're all dead, hanging from the chimney with care.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
And heads from Molly, heads from Molly. I cut them off and threw them down the alley.
Call in and tell us what you'd like for Christmas, boys and girls.
Yeah, call and tell me where you live, I can tell you in the middle of the night.
Two unlikely friends here. WMSA. Ouch, you're stabbing me. I have just been stabbed by Jack the Ripper. It's quite painful.
Shut up, Santa Claus, you're queer.
Ambulance, please.
Shut up, Santa Claus, you're queer. I'm tired of you. Look at you. The Brady Bunch should be still up for grabs. So call 377-44. Shut up, Santa. Shut up.
Oh, it's one of my elves.
Santa Claus? Oh, he killed me. Jack the Ripper. Oh, no. I'm a dead elf, Santa.
That's look. Really very nice of you.
I know it was. I'm not a nice guy. Look.
Santa. Oh, no. Not now. No.
I'm being killed by Jack. I'm being killed by Jack.
Shut up. Look. I'm afraid of would have to twitch my nose and kill you.
Shut up. Look. We're on a random tale here. We're just changing personalities as we go along.
I am James Buchanan. President of the United States.
No, I am President of the United States. I am William Taft.
What do you think of the American trade policies in the 1890s?
Well, I must say, being president during that time, that there are very good policies, and I think that you're a very terrible president.
But I say many wise things.
Yes?
Confucius say that an apple in the hand is worth five in the meadow.
Buddha say, young men who make love in front seat of sports car grow up to be shiftless bastard.
All right, we're back into present now. What do you think of that?
We were insane, man.
We were just going on a random tear.
And
you know?
That was all made up on the spot. And the funny thing was, people don't realize I was like physically strangling Frank during the whole thing.
I know.
He would leave the studio bruised because I would
it was rather painful.
We were just going crazy at the time.
Now I heard we gave out the phone number of the radio station. Should we try calling it now and see if anyone's there?
Can you imagine if we called and actually was actually there? Let's just call it live.
It's in a 201, right?
No, it's 973 now.
Wait, you're saying that?
Yeah. It's 973 area code. Right?
Madison is 973?
Yes, Madison is 973. Okay. So we actually call our radio show. This is totally...
It was 3774, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah. It's a public number. We can use
this. This ought to be good now. I can't wait to see what person... Pick. Are they going to come on live now when they do this?
Yeah. Let's try it.
Whatever.
We're calling
There's
now.
Nobody picking the show up at 3:45.
Someone could be there.
Frank, it's during the week.
We're calling...
It's going to be somebody's house at 2:45 in the morning.
No, it's not. Oh, we're going to get in trouble then.
Hello? Hello? Why are you bothering me? It's the hour of the night.
Oh, I hope we're not bothering someone.
Yeah.
Hello, you have reached 973-3774.
Huh?
We are unable to answer the phone
really
at the moment.
Okay.
So please leave your name and number and we will return the call as soon as possible.
Okay,
thank
go,
you
go.
And hold have on. A great day.
All right. Now that wasn't very nice. We don't know. Who was that?
What the hell? We zombied somebody. 3:45 a.m.
What was that?
That wasn't the radio station. That was they gave the number away to somebody else.
No, it's still the.
You just called somebody at 2:45 a.m.
And they heard that.
They heard that.
They probably scared the wits out of someone. We didn't get sued for that.
We can?
Yeah.
Well,
it's called harassment.
Listen,
this show is causing so much trouble.
This show is out of control tonight. We are just lost.
We're committing crimes.
We're committing crimes. We're talking about crimes in the past.
I really thought that would still be the... this is the basis of our defense. I really thought that would still be...
Yeah, I thought that was right. You sure you had the right number?
I don't know.
You're not even sure there was a number.
Huh?
Just check the number again and make sure that was the radio station. That was.
I didn't look it up. I just remembered it from back then.
But did you sure that was the number?
Hold on. I'm doing a reverse phone search here to see.
Do the reverse phone search so we can see what it was.
Okay. All right. This should be fine.
I want to find out if that was the right phone number. So we zombie. Okay. Can you imagine hearing that zombie noises?
That would be rather.
You pick up the phone?
They couldn't find any listings.
Oh. 333. What was it? 337? Whatever it was. But you're getting the zombies. What was that time we called Alaska?
Yeah.
Remember that story?
Well, because we didn't
like... We got mad because we didn't like the people. Who was it? There was people on the show we didn't like.
Yeah.
That was after or before. Some other time of the week, right?
Yeah, there's someone that we didn't like.
They criticized us, and they were like, these three geeky students, so what do we do? Whatever happens on the air during your show, you're responsible for.
Yeah.
So what do? We go into the other studio. There's like a recording room on the other side.
Yeah.
And we couldn't... There's a phone... studio phone, and we actually call Alaska. We call the 7-Eleven in Northern Lights, Alaska, and Frank gets the guy on the phone at the counter,
yeah,
and just asks the guy, "Do you have any ice cream?" He's like, "Let me go check." The guy puts the phone down and leaves. He's like the only guy there. Runs to the counter. Yeah, we got that. Okay, do you have any? And he kept doing this for like a half an hour.
Yeah,
so he must have racked up some like $80 phone bill for this call to Alaska from the radio station. And they got response. They're responsible for the bill. At the time there.
I found the correct phone number for WRNJ.
That wasn't the right number?
It's a completely different number.
Oh, I don't believe it. So we zombied some person unnecessarily?
So let's call the real WMNJ, our old radio station.
Call the right number. No one's going to be at 10 to 3 in the morning.
I'm sorry. Whoever that was, I really apologize. I did not. That's the old
did
number.
Did not listen to that?
That was a number from 86.
Can you imagine? This is going to be in the newspaper now. zombies attack house in Madison.
That's like, I think it's, I don't know. I feel really bad about that.
We weren't intentionally trying to do a crank call.
I know. Let's call WMNJ, our old radio station. I like that. That's the Skype noise.
Brilliant, great.
Here we go. Now we're going to be talking to a DJ, so.
Okay.
Someone's got to be on the air at this point.
No way. No, we weren't even in the air this time in the morning.
Yes, we were. Someone's got to be there.
No one's picking
this
up.
That sounds like a phone, like in some like this crappy basement studio somewhere. Someone's going to pick up.
It's a good idea, Frank.
Hello.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
All right, get the zombies ready.
Attention, 4753 is not available. At the tone, please record your message.
Say
when you have finished recording,
show?
You may hang up or press 1 for more options.
You want to say?
This message is from the ABM show.
Yes, this is the Anything But Monday show. We used to broadcast from WMNJ
21 years ago, and now we're back as a podcast on the internet.
Yes.
And you can check us out at abmshow.com. And we wanted to say that we'd love to come there and do a reunion show.
Yes,
we'd
like to come in and broadcast from WMNJ if we could. We were there back in the 1980s.
And if you want to look in the archives, you can look up all the great stuff about us.
Yeah, and we just played a clip from our old WMNJ days on our show, so check it out.
So we can't come back. We'd love to come back and do a little guest show now that we are world famous.
Yes.
Broadcaster. So hopefully you give us a call. You can reach the Anything Monday show by dialing
973-685-6400.
Okay.
And here's some zombies.
And we leave you some zombies.
Maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
I gotta press 1.
To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record.
There you go. Okay.
To send your message with normal delivery, press 1. To send your message with urgent delivery, press 2. Thank you. Your message has been sent. To disconnect.
All right.
Oh, that ought to be good. Can you imagine listening to this message in the morning when you hear this message on a Monday morning?
So who are the other people we left the zombies for?
Dude, we're going to be like, I don't know, zombies. All right, what else? What do we got? We're winding down, right? Now, we're almost done with the show.
And we still got a while left.
Does this ever end?
We have 8 minutes left.
8 minutes left.
So like 4 minutes until we start the credits.
Should we do the news? A little bit of news in the day?
A little bit of news. Then we can do the news over the credits, too, as well.
We can do the news over the credits, but let's do some news.
Yeah.
And this is the ABM news. When you want it skewed, we have it first.
The effed up world we live in.
It's
a world where people leave zombie sound effects on a random person's phone, even though they thought it was the old radio.
Well, there's two stories here that actually appeared several days apart.
Yeah.
One was the 25th and one was the 27th of February.
Yeah.
One was a story about Dick Cheney's plane has mechanical problem. And then the next one was Cheney's out of a harm's way. In Afghanistan, when a bomb nearly blew up near him, I just gotta say, this guy can't dodge me forever. He's been one step ahead of me I missed him twice. Sooner or later, I will catch
now,
up.
Now, why are you trying to create this trend that we're trying to like
Dick Cheney?
You don't like Dick Cheney,
dude? I don't like what? Yeah, you like that? You're a big fan of Dick Cheney. All of a sudden, right?
No.
Here's a great story. I love this one.
Yeah.
I love it. Sharpton expresses his shock over slavery linked to Thurmond.
What?
It turns out the Reverend Al Sharpton said yesterday it was shocking to learn he was descended from a slave owner by relatives of the late Senator Strom Thurmond, once a symbol of segregation. So here's Strom Thurmond, who's now dead. You know, and I actually heard that the Thurmond family was thinking of, whatever. the Sturman family was actually claiming dibs on him again.
Really?
Reverend Sharpton. But I thought it was very funny that the whole thing.
But you know what I heard?
What?
Barack Obama is descended from Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederate States of America.
He is?
During the Civil War, the ones that supported slavery.
Were there Muslims in the Civil War?
No. I'm saying Barack Obama. He's like the great, 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 great grandnephew of Jefferson Davis.
Oh, we have to vote him in, don't we?
No, because he's the descendant of the slave master, Jefferson Davis.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
Was there a problem with that? Huh?
I don't know. It's just kind of odd, you know, that the guy that was a president of the states that wanted to keep slavery, his great great grandson is a guy that wants to become the president.
Nothing wrong with that, Frank. Nothing wrong with that.
All right.
So there's no more problems in the South. It's all been taken care of. It's all cleared up.
The South is great. Look, we really don't hate the South. There's a lot of listeners in the South.
Play the Dukes of Hazzard. Just make it play for people in the South. Play a little Dukes of Hazzard music for them. They love the Dukes of Hazzard.
All right, hold on. We'll get the
here's it. Goldblum stalker told to stay away. So apparently Jeff Goldblum has a stalker.
Really?
It turns out that basically there is a restraining order now for a woman who he claims sent him threatening letters, attacked one of his aides, and has shown up at his home more than 50 times in the last few months. Why in the world would you bother? This is for people in the South. Hope you feel better.
Just a good old boy.
Yep.
The Dukes of Hazzard. This was from the South?
Yeah, there was a
oh, okay.
Dukes of Hazzard and General Lee and
Tom Wopat. What these guys like? Didn't they like die horrible deaths? What happened? One of those guys, one of the two guys, like had a horrible disease or something?
I don't know. I thought they were both alive still.
Now, who's that girl? That girl's hot.
That was Barbara Bach, wasn't
Barbara,
it?
Barbara, oh, she's hot.
Was it Barbara Bach?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it Barbara Bach?
No, it's not Barbara Bach.
It's a Bach. It's a
and
Bach.
Denver Pyle. It's Uncle Jesse.
Who is it? What Bach was it? Catherine Bach.
Yeah.
It was Catherine Bach, right? Barbara Bach was the one married to Ringo.
I wonder what she looks like now.
Oh, no. Looks like a zombie, Frank.
Yeah. That's Catherine Bach for you.
Here we go.
Is Catherine Bach?
Did you read this one?
Go.
World War II grenade turns up in potatoes.
What?
A woman in a town near Naples got an unwelcome surprise when she bought a sack of potatoes at a nearby market,
Yeah. Put
them into water to peel, and discovered one of them was a hand grenade, apparently left over from World War II. And Wow. Guess where the grenade came from? The grenade was believed to have traveled with the potatoes from France.
What?
The French sending the Italians grenades.
That's ridiculous. All right, well, our credit sequence has started.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, here we go. Oh, boy.
Yikes. Right,
first of all, here is a picture of Catherine Bach.
As he is today?
Yeah. No, from the old days.
Old days.
Oh, there you
gorgeous.
Go.
Gorgeous. There she is. Beautiful.
Oh,
look at the...
Like
oh
a 10.
My.
Total
look
10.
At the rack on that beautiful...
Holy crap. Nice.
That is beautiful.
Now, here we go into the future.
Oh.
And here is the Catherine Bach of today.
Oh, ouch.
The time is a bitch.
Go back to some of the other pictures here. What has she got here? What is she going? What's that
look
one over there?
Oh,
what's the Dukes of Hazzard poster over there?
What? There's a lot of pictures of her.
Yeah, let's go. She looks not bad. deteriorating, and she's spent.
It's so sad.
She's with the Dukes of Hazzard guy. One of these pictures.
Yeah, she doesn't look
too
bad.
Still got the fake breasts. They're still like.
Yeah.
It can't be. Those can't be real.
Why can't we be like immortal like the elves and J.R.R. Tolkien and like not get older like that?
Look at that.
Wow.
We got to find out where she's signing next time, Frank. Go there.
Yeah, Catherine Bach.
Why are the two women like getting autographs?
There's a picture of her like of her old self there.
And she's signing autographs for these two women.
Yeah.
One of them holding a Coors can. Great.
Probably down south.
Down
as
south.
Usual.
Oh. We had a short news segment today, Frank. Not a long news segment.
I know.
Segment.
Well, we had to get it. I think we got most of everything in that we wanted. Let's see. Yeah. What did we get in? What did we not? We didn't get to Mike's brilliant ideas, but you did that on that other podcast.
Yeah.
We didn't call Dave, our program director. We were supposed to do that.
Yeah. If we called him now, it would be midnight in California, so even he would be sleeping.
You want to call him real quick?
No.
We have like 3 minutes left.
I don't think we should call him. We can't wake him up. He's got a kid.
I feel bad about that zombie call now. I thought we were calling a radio station.
You're the one who gave me the number. All Frank's fault.
No, but you gave the go-ahead.
All Frank's fault on that one.
You had a Sharpie. You wrote on a big piece of paper, do it, Frank. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. And you told me to do it.
Yeah, I'm always egging you on. We're always doing stuff. Oh, Frank, as we leave our listeners, make sure you understand that the Danes have found out that vitamin A or E may shorten your life.
What?
It's like, apparently, they've actually
the Danes?
Yeah, doctors are
people from Denmark?
Yeah, trying to sell that to your family. You know, can you imagine this? You, the person just died in the hospital. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. It's
vitamin A poisoning.
Your husband has died of vitamin E and vitamin A. It wasn't all the drugs you pumped into his body. No, you know, it was the vitamin E and vitamin A that did it to him. Or they're out of wake. Yes, his passing was quite terrible. He took too much vitamin A and too much vitamin E. He's no longer with us. So who would people help this show make this show possible, Frank? You did. I want to acknowledge you did a great show, Frank. You were really on your game today. You prepared well. It started off a little slow.
Yeah, I spent all day working on it.
Yeah, well, hello. What did I do? Did I come unprepared today? No. Okay, thank you.
All right, so looking at the closing credits here, of course, as the credits are rolling, we see all the people that worked on the show. And we see Sarah Ann Lentz. She's our Antarctic detective.
Oh, I didn't even have one of those.
We have an Antarctic detective, and that's Sarah Ann Lentz. She's doing great work. All our detective work in the Antarctic region, Sarah Ann Lentz takes care of. And, of course, right now she's working on the case of the tattooed seals.
Really?
Yes, of course, you know, our seal tattooing program in Antarctica has been going very well. We're trying to put an ad for Anything But Monday show on seals via tattooing.
So therefore,
and someone is removing the tattoos with lasers. And Sarah is trying to figure out who is doing it. It's the mystery of the tattooed seals.
So people down in Antarctica are trying to listen to our show and she's
They're trying to prevent the advertising campaign.
Do people actually live in Antarctica?
Yes.
What's the population of Antarctica?
I don't know, a couple thousand.
Have you looked that up?
I don't know.
Perhaps before you spend money in a marketing budget for Antarctica, you should look into see how many people are
actually
there.
That's why it's so strange that someone is spending the effort to laser remove the tattoos from the seals.
I would
say
so.
Sarah Ann Lentz, our Antarctic detective, is on the case.
Yeah, and her husband, Tom Lentz, coincidentally, happens to be the one who takes care of our ABM bomb-sniffing dogs.
Exactly.
They took care of our package today. And as just like I said, they detected nothing, and we were safe, and we had a great show.
Good morning.
Whoa. Good morning. We went past the credits.
We went past the credits?
We have to do it again now?
No, we're not.
All right, we'll go back. All right, here we go. 24 seconds left in the show. We usually don't go past the credits.
Well, Frank, until next week.
Yes.
And by that time, we will have thousands of more listeners.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure, as usual.
It has been a great pleasure. And now we have to spend like another hour, half an hour cleaning things up. And oh, wait, we went past the end again. Hold on. All right. 15 seconds left. What do you have to say?
I have to say, Frank, it's been a pleasure to be back in the studio again. We had a great show, and I'm looking forward to hearing what it's all done on Monday. Quick, get off the air, quick, before we run off the credits.
All right, everyone, have a great week. We'll see you again next Monday. Good night.